the show the world listens to on a Friday night. This is Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Zoinks, Scoob! I smell something weird!
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents. Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Earlier this month, I interviewed John Harris, a researcher in the legal aspects of the global agenda, mainly with a UK angle. John heads up TPUC, the People's United Community, and is a new breed of researcher that is discovering what every man and woman can do in a practical way to reverse the impositions placed on people today by the state and corporations. Now That's Weird is pleased to announce that we're in the final phase of editing and producing a 2-CD set with John's interview, and this is essential knowledge if you want to challenge the system, and you can now tell your friends how it's done. As an added bonus, on the second disc, there is the first of the interviews I did with Greg Nicoletis from Australia, talking about the most important subject of our age, bodily microchipping. At just £10, including postage and packing, we're aiming to have this ready for sale before the end of the month. If you'd like to be one of the first to obtain a copy, please send an email right now to Kenton Torrey at sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk. That's sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll notify you as soon as it's ready for dispatch.
Show Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Do you want to reach a global interactive audience that are into the esoteric, holistic, strange phenomena? It's a niche marketplace, but it could be the right one for you. Advertise or sponsor Now That's Weird. Drop me a line now, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk, and we'll do a deal that suits you. Get your message out to thousands of people all over the world with Now That's Weird.
Hi, this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They make me feel f***ing normal.
a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space itself and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area that we call... Now that's weird.
Yes, good evening, Weirdsters. Welcome back to another one. A whole week gone by, another 3 hours of Now That's Weird coming at you through till midnight here in the UK. That's 1 till 4, of course, PST, and 4 till 7pm EST in America for our friends over there. Welcome to the programme. Now, if you've not heard Now That's Weird before, let me just tell you, it's 3 hours, three different guests normally, although we're changing things slightly at the moment. Guests in hour 1 and 3. A quick sort of pop-up guest in hour 2 tonight, but hour 2 really dedicated to you, the listeners, to put forward any questions you might want to ask me, anything at all you want to discuss, and some of the topics that have been hot in recent weeks, and we'll talk about those in just a moment. In hour 3 tonight, we're going to be talking to the man behind the Webbot. Now, if you haven't heard of Webbot, where have you been these last year or two? The Webbot is a... Well, I'm not going to actually describe it too greatly. I'm going to leave that to Cliff in hour 3 to describe. But basically, it's a piece of software, it would seem, that's been scouring the internet and making predictions for the future with very, very high accuracy rates. People are saying, my God, you know, this thing keeps predicting the future correctly. What the hell's happening? Well, we're going to find out in hour 3 with Cliff High, the man behind Webbot. In hour 2, as I say, your chance to get questions into me, anything at all you want to talk about. And if you want to enclose a phone number on your email, I may ring you and have a chat to you live on the programme in hour 2. But get those in early, please. Don't leave it to the last minute. And in hour 1 tonight, we're going to be talking to Sasha Christie, who's working with Richard Moore on the InfoFeeder project at infofeeder.info. We'll be talking to more about that in just a moment. Let me tell you about a few of the things, what we call the parish notices at the start of the programme. More UFO sightings again this week coming up on the internet. Several have been discounted again as Chinese lanterns this week. But still again, this big black triangle being seen over various parts of America. Now, some years ago, we went through a whole period where these large black triangular craft were being spotted, and it seems that that type of craft are making the news again at the moment, with a lot of the sightings in America at the moment being described as exactly that. Have you ever seen anything large, black and triangular in the skies that wasn't a stealth bomber? If you have, drop me a line, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. Conspiracy updates. Well, we're going to be talking a lot more about that in hour one. But lots of conspiracies doing the rounds at the moment. How many of them have at least a foot in fact? We're hearing an awful lot about the H1N1 vaccine at the moment and some of the things that are going on in America, in particular Massachusetts, where people are being threatened with jail if they don't have the vaccine. One of the vaccines was cleared today as being safe by a European safety body, apparently. But do you believe it's safe? I certainly still don't want it, but what's going to happen to those that don't? The latest conspiracy is that you're going to be singled out by your neighbours as being a carrier if you're not having the vaccine. Could this cause a lynch mob mentality? Now, this is something David Icke spoke about on the show a couple of months ago when he was on here, and he did say to us that all of this would start happening towards the end of September, beginning of October, and sure enough, that's one of the indications on a news bulletin I watched on Fox News earlier this week, where the interviewer actually said exactly that. Are we going to start seeing people being singled out for not having the vaccine? It's a worrying one. ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. Got to update you quickly on the haunting here. You've heard me say on the show before that we've had paranormal activity here at the house, and it sort of goes quiet for months on end. We get nothing, and then all of a sudden it kicks off again. Well, earlier this week I was standing out in the kitchen one morning making me tea, and I felt this sort of presence behind me, because I turned round as if someone was standing watching me. There was no one there. The hairs on my back went up, and the kettle just switched itself off. It was halfway through its boil cycle, so it was firmly switched on. It was starting to go, but long before it was ready to boil, it just turned itself off. Now, it's never done that before, and it's never done it again since. Any ideas? ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. And UFO Congress 2010. More speakers announced this week, and some very good ones. Mary Rodwell from Australia on the bill. It's going to be really, really good. It's all in February next year, and as you know, we're doing a tour out there. There are still a few places left, but they are going quickly. You can find out more at megalithictours.com. That's megalithictours.com. If you want to join us, we'll be flying out to Phoenix, Arizona. From there, we'll be going up to Sedona, and then up to the Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon up to Rachel, the little alien, and then back down for 7 days and 8 nights at UFO Congress in the Aquarius International Resort Hotel on the banks of the Colorado River. It's going to be a fantastic trip. You could be coming with us. All you need to do is book it now at megalithictours.com. And a dust storm over Sydney. What do you make of this week? Sydney covered in red and yellow dust throughout a day and a half. Nothing ever seen like it before, apparently. What do you think caused it? The news stories are saying it was just something that blew up in the bush and flicked across Sydney, and then that was it. It was all gone. But it's never happened before. Why would it be happening now? The conspiracy theorists are saying that it's all part of the major changes that we're now going to be experiencing across the earth. Your comments, please. ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the partner, if you like, to my first guest, because the man behind the site was Richard Moore, but Richard's got his colleague Sasha on the programme tonight because he says she talks far better than I do. This is what he sent me earlier today. He said, an introduction to InfoFeeder. I, Richard Moore, have always had a great interest in the various topics we cover and a desire to be part of a growing realisation that we are told by the powers that be is distorted, manipulated and controlled. And that can be said for many of the issues we face today. And I'm sure, he says, I'm not the only one who feels that things must change. One person or one group cannot make that change. We have to come together as one voice, one race, that is unified. We are very far off from that point now, unfortunately, but he does believe he can make this a reality. He goes on to say, I wanted to be part of that revolution and help. Information is the key, and understanding and exposing the issues we face today. Information is fragmented, corrupted, and spread across various places and people. The internet and Facebook is a great way to bring a diverse mix of many people together, networking together in many ways. And he says, for a while I'd been using RSS feeds to pull together the information that I and others were interested in, and had set up a way of posting these automatically on a profile. Initially something I set up, he says, for an unnamed forum. Since they did not wish to make the profile I had set up as their official profile, I decided to break away from my association with them and decided to go it alone. I decided that InfoFeeder was a good name for what I do, so the profile on Facebook became what you see today, and InfoFeeder was born. Well, on the phone now is Sasha Christie from InfoFeeder. Sasha, good evening.
Hi, Ross.
Hi, well, thanks for joining us. A little bit of an intro on Richard there, but tell us a little bit about your part in this.
Oh, basically, I met Richard on Facebook, and we have very similar interests, and we're doing pretty much the same thing, but my interest mainly lies in ufology and some of the main conspiracy theories, and we just started communicating on there, and then eventually we decided just to collaborate together and see what we could come up with.
And you've come up with something really good. So tell us, what is InfoFeeder?
Well, it's basically meant to be a platform. It's like a neutral hub of information where everybody can gather their information, we'll gather information, we collaborate all the resources and try and create a community where we can all learn about the reality of our existence and try to make a difference, try and change the way that, you know, things are perceived, because what we're actually fed is an illusion. And we're trying to break down that illusion and see beyond it, and, you know, to try and get other people to see what's actually going on and not believe everything that they're told in the media.
Well, I think this is a major point, isn't it? Because I was talking to David Icke on the programme a little while ago, and he was saying so many people are just sitting in front of EastEnders and Coronation Street, putting their feet up and not wanting to hear anything other than what they see on the tell-lie vision.
Well, that's right. Oh, I like that, the tell-lie vision. Yeah, well, it is. It's a puppet show. It's a distraction. I just say that the TV, the media, the news, newspapers, they are weapons of mass distraction. And they take people away from what's really going on. You know, it's like you mentioned the swine flu virus. I think it's interesting that now that you've mentioned that people are going to be singled out, single the neighbours out. I mean, it's a little bit like a witch hunt. They used to do that when they burnt people at the stake. Now they're kind of killing us off with all these different diseases that they are manufacturing themselves.
Well, in fact, Colonel Gaddafi said this week that he believed that the swine flu was actually a military-controlled chemical weapon or biochemical weapon.
I believe that. I actually think that if you look at all the things that they're getting up to, they are working on race-specific viruses. This swine flu virus is actually, you know, it's a variation of five different viruses that was patented in 2008, so it is manufactured.
The interesting thing was it was patented in 2008, but the vaccine for it was patented a year earlier in 2007.
Really?
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it?
No.
It's reasons like this, Sasha, that make me do a show like this, because there's so many things out there that don't add up. Two and two don't make four anymore. And sites like InfoFeeder are bringing this through, aren't they?
Yeah, well, that's what we hope to do. I mean, people... You know, it's like this cervical vaccine, the cervical cancer vaccine that's been brought out. There's so many people suffering terrible, terrible side effects from it. But there's young girls thinking, oh, Jade Goody died from cervical cancer, so, you know, I better have this. But at the end of the day, they've still got to protect themselves from all the other sexually transmitted diseases by, you know, you practicing safe sex. So if they're going to do that, then they're going to be safe from the HPV virus as well. So it just makes no sense.
Well, that one doesn't make any sense to me anyway, because there is no cure as we know it for cervical cancer yet. So where does this vaccine actually come from that they're injecting all the young girls with?
I don't know, but people, there's young girls all over the world, they've become covered in warts, paralysed, brain damaged, you know, and they're peddling it like it's a cure.
I know, it's just absolutely crazy. Now, with a site like InfoFeeder, there's a lot of information coming through, and you're channeling that out to a wide audience, and well done on that. But how can we define what is conspiracy theory and what's conspiracy fact?
Well, you have to really do a lot of digging for that. You need a lot of people involved, and this is what we want from InfoFeeder. We want everybody who finds out any bit of information that is verifiable, preferably from a professional. There's a lot of doctors that are coming forward. They're saying, you know, I won't give this to my children. You know, these are the side effects. And like you say, there's a threat of it being mandatory. And there's sheriffs saying, I'm not going to, you know, sort of implement these laws. And what we want is people to get involved in InfoFeeder in whatever way they can. It's not me and Richard that are running it. We want everybody involved. Anyone who knows anything, anyone who finds anything out, we want them to contribute. This is what the platform is. It is for everybody, and it is to educate people as to what is going on, how things are going to affect them, and, you know, how we can actually maybe become one voice, two voices, a million voices, and make a difference and rise up against this tide of enforced vaccinations. It's like I've kind of phrased it's Farmageddon that we're living in.
Farmageddon, I like that.
Well, it is, isn't it? It's like we're being tested. Everything is just a test.
Absolutely.
And we're the guinea pigs.
I'm going to stop you there, Sasha, because we need to go to the first ad break. We'll be talking some more with Sasha Christie in just a moment about InfoFeeder and also about UFOs as well, because she's quite an authority on this, so I'm told. So we're going to be touching on that one as well. Just before we go into the break, let me tell you, earlier this week I went for my second part of my training course. I'm learning tarot, not for any reason other than I just want to understand tarot and the deck. So I've been training with Liz Williams, Dr. Liz Williams, well-known tarot reader here in town, and I can tell you that Liz is going to be doing readings for people. She doesn't often do this publicly outside of the shop, but she's going to be doing readings for people at Graham Robertson's Mystic Fair this weekend at the Assembly Room. So I've got Graham coming on the programme to talk to us about it for a little short period, quick 10-minuter, in hour two tonight. It's going to be a good chance here to get a really good tarot reading if you're coming down into Glastonbury this weekend. We'll be back right after these words.
Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show. Email the show, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Hi, this is Ross, and you may have heard me talk about the great UFO Congress tour next year. Well, we're leaving in February, and around about 20 of you can be coming with us. But time is short, you need to book soon. The tour is going to fly out to Phoenix in Arizona, and then from there we're on to Sedona, where we're staying at the Hotel La Quinta, followed by a trip up to the Grand Canyon National Park, staying at the Grand Canyon Grand Hotel. From there we're going to be going up into Nevada to visit the Little Alien in Rachel, Nevada, and hopefully as near as we can to Area 51. And then from there, we're travelling down to UFO Congress, 7 days and 8 nights of the greatest speakers from all over the world on the subject of UFOs, on the banks of the Colorado River, just across the river from Arizona. If you want to be part of this, just go to www.megalithictours.com. That's www.megalithictours.com. Get your deposit in now, secure your place, because there are only 20 places and they're selling real fast. I'll be there, so will Penny. Hope you will too.
Love and Light events present
the Avalon Fairy Ball on Saturday the 3rd of October at the Glastonbury Town Hall, featuring artists Brian Frow, Josephine Wu, Linda Ravenscroft, Peter Prokovnik, Chetney Davis and more. At the Avalon Fairy Ball there'll be music from the Dolmen, fairy fashion shows and much, much more. The Fairy Fair is open between 11 and 5pm and entry is free. The Avalon Fairy Ball starts at 8pm.
Tickets are £20, available from theferryball.co.uk or 01736 330 201.
Are you truly happy? Do you feel that there's more to life but don't know where to find it? More to Life magazine is the spiritual magazine to enlighten you with simple, easy-to-read articles on everything from angels, stress management and healing, through to Reiki, yoga and meditation. For just £13.50 for a year's subscription, we have the tools to help you discover what you really want from life. Visit moretolifemag.co.uk to find out more about us. Exploration is the path to a better life. The Connections Magazine, the leading independent free guides to personal development, natural therapies and all things mystic. The three regional magazines cover the Southwest, London and Southeast and the Midlands, with articles and columns by Dr. Alan Sweeney, Barbara Brennan, Dr. Keith Hearn, Joseph Sarah, Karen Kay, Gail Force and many more. Why not advertise from only £230 a year? Your events, therapies, centres, courses and workshops, retreats, readings, products for sale, organic and vegetarian shops. With us, to our thousands of like-minded readers. See theconnections.co.uk or phone 01747 823 424.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Hi, this is Ross. Check out my new daily blog at nomadrush.blogspot.com. That's nomadrush.blogspot.com. And keep up to date with what's really happening out there.
Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show. Email the show, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Yes, that's the address, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. Get those emails coming in now. Anything at all you want to ask my first guest, Sasha Christie, get the emails coming in. We'll deal with those in just a little while. Now, Sasha, your own background, let's talk about how you got involved in this strange phenomena business yourself before you sort of hooked up with InfoFeeder.
Well, basically, when I was about 12 years old, I saw a little light zipping about in the sky. You know, I lived out in Humberside, and it was obviously something that wasn't usual because it was zipping about in a zigzag fashion. And we had Viking Radio on at the time, and everybody was calling in about it. And after that, I read my mum's Von Daniken books. And then in 1996, I went to Wales for a weekend away with somebody that was seen at the time, my son and some of his family members. And he saw a little light in the distance, and we were all watching it for a while, and it came right to be over the top of us. And basically, it was the most incredible thing that you'd ever see in your life. It was Close Encounters. And I've got to the point now where I don't expect people to believe me, but I've found a community where people do. And it made me quite ill because it totally polarised everything that I'd ever believed in. It's okay seeing a tiny little light way up in the sky, but when you see something that up close and personal, it was really frightening, and it affected me quite a lot. And for a long time I didn't think about it, or I tried not to, but eventually it really got the better of me and I started to get into it about 4 or 5 years ago, and I told my story on a forum which I now run. And it's just taken off from there. I got interviewed by Russ Callahan and Philip Mantle. And then they invited me to write for UFO Data magazine. And then I ended up talking at the Great British UFO Show a few years ago. But then the people that I've met, they're the ones that really drive me on, because they are so intelligent and genuine. And these things are definitely happening to them. I've stayed at some of the houses and I've had events go on. that have included other people. And every time I think, I can't do this anymore, it's too much, it fries my head, something else happens and I think, I can't give it up. This is really happening and we're told that it's not and we live in a lie. Everything to me is just a lie. And sometimes I find it really hard to actually live in a world where it is a complete illusion and you have to struggle to see beyond the puppet show to what is really going on. The biggest conspiracy in history ever is the cover-up of UFOs.
Oh, absolutely.
And what they are, you know, and where they come from. And what do they want, you know?
Well, do you know, earlier this week, Sasha, Nick Pope put up a posting on his Facebook. I don't know if you saw it. There was more disclosure this week from the US, from the UK government, rather. Apparently, one of the, I don't know if it was a general, someone fairly high up, I know, within the MOD, apparently was so convinced that there was something going on, he said he wanted that technology, and he'd already spoken to other members of the government saying, if they've got that technology, we want that technology. So he was almost accepting the fact that UFOs exist, even though the MOD was still denied it at the time.
But the MOD, even to me, that's a kind of whitewash. They say they don't investigate. The MOD don't investigate. They take the sightings and they do pretty much nothing with them. But somebody must be doing, and they have got the technology. If you look at the disclosure projects, I mean, every single person that's involved in that has had something to do or seen this technology, and we know that they have it. It could solve so many issues right across the planet as far as energy is concerned, fossil fuels, global warming, everything, if they just actually admitted that they had this. But it's free energy, so there's no money to be made, and that is the only thing that motivates any of them, is the money and the power.
No, I tend to agree with you. And just going back on the whole UFO thing at the moment, I mean, bearing in mind that these black triangles that I was reporting sightings of earlier on in the show tonight, if you remember when Nick Pope was last on the show, listeners out there, you'll remember him saying that the American government actually rung the MOD while he was there and said, have you guys got something large triangular that you're testing at the moment? And when the MOD said no, they said, well, we keep seeing this thing over our skies and it ain't the Ruskies, and if it ain't you, where the hell is that coming from? And I think that sort of says it all, doesn't it? Let's get to the emails. We're going to come back and more on Info Feeder in just a moment, but this one sort of fits in with what we're talking about right now. Hi Ross, great show. Thank you. I've got a quick question for Sasha Christie. What are her thoughts, if any, on deep underground military bases called DUMBS, D-U-M-B-S, and the possibility of various aliens and their technology living and being kept underground? Many thanks from Tom McRae from Edinburgh in Scotland.
Oh, hi Tom. I know, Tom. I think it's a distinct possibility. I think that, you know, why are they extraterrestrials? Why are they not terrestrials? They could have been here a long time before us. There's underground bases, there's the submerged bases under the water. I mean, there's so many possibilities. I wouldn't discount anything, to be honest.
Well, there's quite a few researchers out there, people like Paola Harris, who've been studying underground bases off Italy for some time now. So I think that, you know, there's a lot of information out there for people to get, and certainly perhaps we should be looking down when in fact we're looking up.
Well, there are, absolutely. There are bases, there are underground bases all over the world, and what are they doing? They can't be empty, and if they are, what are they waiting for? You know, there's all sorts. I mean, even the Denver airport, what is that about? There's all those murals, there's the fact that it's so huge, all the barbed wires facing inwards as if it's trying to keep people in, but there is an underground base underneath it, allegedly. I've heard rumours that there's one underneath Rendlesham Forest, although there's no way that I can find any information to verify that. But I do believe that there must be something going on. The whole Phil Schneider episode, he said that he fell into one of these underground bases and was shot by an alien, and he was so damaged physically that I can't see how his hand could have become damaged in that way
with
the technology that we have got. So you know, I certainly would not discount it, and it is definitely something that people should keep looking into.
Well, just on that point of Rendlesham, for those that are interested, I'm speaking at the Probe Conference next week. Dolores Cannon's heading the bill up there in Lytham St Anne's near Blackpool. And on the Sunday when I do my talk, I am going to be showing that picture that I've been talking about, the picture of me standing there with what appears to be an interdimensional entity or alien standing to the side of me or just above me. A lot of people now have seen this. I've shown it at conferences. I won't publish it on the net, and I won't send it out to people for obvious obvious reasons, but if you want to see that picture, get along to Probe next weekend or to the Cornish UFO conference the week after. I will be showing it at both. And that was on track 10 at Rendlesham, one of the strangest things I think I've ever encountered. Let's get back to the emails. This one's from Stardust2, one of our regulars in the chat room. And if you want to join the chat room, all you need to do is go to nowthatsweird.co.uk, sign into the website, or sign up if you're not signed in already, and Penny will get you activated, and you can chat to other listeners from around the world who are in the chat room right now. Stardust2 says, my GP told me that if I do not have the jab for swine flu, I could catch swine flu and I may die. Well, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it, Sasha?
Yeah, and I think it's probably more likely that you would die if you did have the
vaccine. Well, this is it, because, you know, from what I'm hearing, it's what's in the vaccine that's more likely to kill you. It's going to break down your immune system, and basically you're not going to be able to defend against anything.
Sorry, but would it be in a variation of five different types? I think it's actually giving an inway for five different types of virus being able to latch onto your system. So I wouldn't be surprised if we had several other types of flu viruses appear in the very near future.
Mm. Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, they tried this out with bird flu and didn't get their own way.
Yeah.
So it seems to me that they're sort of getting ready for something big. Now, of course, the big conspiracy here is that there is depopulation going on. They want to break the population down to a much lower number than we have now. And I think the figure was given originally as 6 billion. That we're already starting to see plans of that being spoken about from people like the World Health Organization and the World Trade Organization. So it does seem to me that they're sort of saying, without saying it, directly to us, because they're saying, well, there's not going to be enough food and water to go around. We've got to do something. And there doesn't appear to be any plans being laid out, like like the Chinese can only have two children each or whatever. Yeah. So they must be doing something about it behind the scenes.
Well, I just think that there's so many contradictions going on in the world. On one hand, we've got this whole eugenics plan. If you look on the internet, you can find out the history of eugenics. It goes back a long, 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 long way.
Mm.
But at the same time, you've got IVF and all these things, and, you know, people are infertile, or you've got same-sex relationships, but you can still have a baby and, you know, or adopt a baby. And I just can't see where it's going. It's everything's in such a mess that I can't see how they're going to win.
No, I agree.
I honestly don't know. I mean, every illness, there seems to be a cure.
Mm, no,
I've
I agree.
Been working on a cure.
Yeah, the way that it's working out at the moment, I mean, there's little doubt in my mind at the moment. The way things are working out seem to point towards the conspiracy having at very, very least one foot, in fact, if not both, in fact. Now, let's just get back to InfoFeeder for a moment. Does InfoFeeder actually have an opinion or an answer as to how we can change the society we live in, or does it just purely publish the information?
Well, we do have an opinion, but the opinion is that we all need to stop being kind of judgmental and precious over the information that we have, and share, and, you know, actually get together as a community and stop sort of segregating ourselves. Everybody seems to have a standpoint, and they're all being separatist. And even the word sheeple that I see quite often used on Facebook, I find quite insulting, because nobody's fully awake.
Mm.
Nobody's fully following anything. You know, we all need to wake up, we need to become aware, and, you know, we haven't all been hypnotized, so we can't count backwards from 10 and click our fingers and wake up and see the reality. We've all been conditioned. It's long-range programming that we've all been subjected to. And so we need to start deprogramming, but we need to start getting the information out. And an information hub like InfoFeeder, you've got everything there right in front of your face in one place, where you don't have to keep going over to YouTube, or you don't have to keep going over to whoever's site or this site. You can just see there's little clips, and each one's got a header which you can click on, which will take you to that part or that site and give you the information. Instead of having to go all over the internet and trying to find everything, or, you know, put it all together in one piece, we're trying to kind of like bring everything together in a cogent manner, where it's all there in front of your face and you can see it for yourself.
Mm.
And hopefully, the more people contribute, the easier it's going to be, the bigger it'll get. We've even got a little section which we call Friends of InfoFeeder, where if anyone writes an article or, you know, has a thought or an opinion, they can contribute in that way. And this is what we want to do. Our opinion is that we need to get together and try and make everybody see what is really going on, without being prejudiced, or, you know, without having an attitude. I go on a lot of forums, and there just seem to be like a lot of know-it-alls, and they don't want to accept anybody else's ideas, and they're quite nasty to each other in some ways, and I think it's completely unnecessary. And InfoFeeder is wanting to break down those barriers and just bring everybody together, really, as a community.
I think it's a great idea, and of course there's the Facebook side to this as well. Now I've joined up to this, guys, listeners out there, if you want to do the same. If you go to InfoFeeder on Facebook, just search it, you can join up, and the feed comes through on your Facebook page, so every time something new comes in, it actually displays. Now, Sasha, what does InfoFeeder hope to achieve in the longer term?
We just hope to break down the illusion, really. We just want to make a difference. It's like we're at the beginning of a revolution. People are actually waking up to what's going on, and there's a tide. It's almost like a tidal wave that's building up. If you go on to Facebook, there's so many sites. If you look at the internet, there's so many conspiracy sites. And, 99% of the population are interested. It used to be that people would say, 99.9% of the people aren't interested, they don't believe. And if they found out, the whole world would fall off its stand and we'd all be in a big puddle of ourselves. So that's absolutely rubbish, because these are the most researched topics on the internet. So I think really now people are totally becoming aware, and InfoFeeder just wants to push that forward and bring everyone together and try and make a difference.
And I think it's working. The address again is infofeeder.info. So that's infofeeder.info, info. And it's run by Richard Moore with Sasha. Now, Sasha, what special features do you bring to it?
Well, mainly, my interest is the UFO issue. And whenever I get a sighting, I check various things like the weather and wind direction, if there was any meteorites, any satellites, anything like that. Basically, what I want to do is have all these widgets on the site where people can check all these things for themselves. Obviously, we're not privy to the information of military flyovers of any strange, whatever they might be testing now, or commercial flights. But we can rule out quite a lot of things. I'd also like to bring all of the information together. I like to write articles, so I want to write based on what other people have, contributed, or whatever issues are being discussed in various forums, write articles, provoke thought, and, maybe criticism or other ideas that might come to the fore. But basically, I really, really, really would like people to take responsibility for their own sightings, because they don't. They just think, oh, well, I've seen this, and the UFO balloon thing is just insane. I have had so many sightings given to me that can't possibly be them, and I think it's really ironic that recently these have become so cheap and they have flooded the market after I've had at least 30 sightings of these things that are stopping, waiting, flying off in formation, flying in formation in groups of 150 in one episode. I saw this with some friends, and I was in Cumbria, and it was spotted as well down on the A12 Colchester Road. Stop traffic, people were getting out of the cars, and children were crying, people were carrying on, and it was, it's those balloons. I'm sorry, on the same night, within 10 minutes, it's not possible.
No. Well, I've got to say on that point, I've got to stop you there, Sasha, because we've got to go into an ad break. We'll come back to this in a moment. But I do have to say that, yes, whilst Chinese lanterns do explain some of these things, you may remember, listeners, that we had Gary Heseltine from the PROOFOS police database on a few weeks ago saying that there are more and more fleet sightings at the moment on reports that are being sent to him. So something's going on. Any questions you've got for Sasha, get them in now. We'll go to the emails after the break. It's ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll be back right after these words.
Annoying Scoob, I smell something weird.
It's not weird, it's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Do you want to reach a global, interactive audience that are into the esoteric, holistic, strange phenomena? It's a niche marketplace, but it could be the right one for you. Advertise or sponsor Now That's Weird. Drop me a line now, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk, and we'll do a deal that suits you. Get your message out to thousands of people all over the world with Now That's Weird.
A make you truly happy? Do you feel that there's more to life but don't know where to find it? More to Life magazine is the spiritual magazine to enlighten you with simple, easy-to-read articles on everything from angels, stress management and healing, through to Reiki, yoga and meditation. For just £13.50 for a year's subscription, we have the tools to help you discover what you really want from life. Visit moretolifemag.co.uk to find out more about us. Exploration is the path to a better life.
Earlier this month, I interviewed John Harris, a researcher in the legal aspects of the global agenda, mainly with a UK angle. John heads up TPUC, the People's United Community, and is a new breed of researcher that is discovering what every man and woman can do in a practical way to reverse the impositions placed on people today by the state and corporations. Now That's Weird is pleased to announce that we're in the final phase of editing and producing a 2-CD set with John's interview, and this is essential knowledge if you want to challenge the system, and you can now tell your friends how it's done. As an added bonus, on the second disc, there is the first of the interviews I did with Greg Nicoletis from Australia, talking about the most important subject of our age, bodily microchipping. At just £10, including postage and packing, we're aiming to have this ready for sale before the end of the month. If you'd like to be one of the first to obtain a copy, please send an email right now to Kent and Tory at sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk. That's sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll notify you as soon as it's ready for dispatch.
Glastonbury Radio reaches a truly global audience of interactive listeners surfing the World Wide Web whilst listening to our programmes. Because of the global nature of online digital radio, we're seeking those forward-thinking people who run online businesses to come and take advantage of our low advertising rates right now. Our packages start from as little as £100 a month, and new advertisers get 3 months for the price of two. So contact us now on 0871 871 3666 or email Ross at GlastonburyRadio.net.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Hi, this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They've made me feel f***ing normal.
Yes, welcome back. You're listening to Now That's Weird through till midnight here in the UK. It's 1 till 4 in the West Coast America and 4 till 7 on the East Coast of America. So wherever you are, hope you're enjoying the show so far. And we're going to go to the emails in a moment. Let me just remind you, though, in Hour 3 tonight, we're going to be talking to Cliff High from the Webbot. And many of you will know the Webbot has been making some very, very accurate predictions for our future. And I'll be very interested to hear what the Webbot might be saying about 2012. And they're actually talking about that in the chat room now. And Lightnet just made the point in the chat room, what would happen if absolutely nothing happens in 2012? Well, I'll tell you now, Lightnet, it'll give the sceptics a field day. The whole phenomenon of business will go right down the pan for a while, because they'll say, see, all of you guys with your conspiracy theories. So who knows? We'll have to wait and see on that one. Right, my guest is Sasha Christie. We're talking about infofeeder.info, and I want to go to the emails first on this section, if I may. Sasha, this first one. Hi, Ross. Three times in my life I have seen lights resembling satellites, both in speed and size, forming a rotating equidistant triangle moving in formation across the night sky. Any chance of someone enlightening to me as to what these may be? Love the shows. Peace from Rich. Well, Sasha, what do you make of that?
Well, they don't sound like satellites to me. They follow a specific trajectory. They certainly don't fly in that kind of formation, so I would doubt very much that that's what they were.
No, I tend to agree. I mean, he says here, both in speed and size, forming a rotating equidistant triangle. Well, that rules out satellites, it rules out planes, because they don't fly like that, and certainly Chinese lanterns tend not to get themselves into a strict formation. So,
no,
Rich, I think you've seen a UFO, mate.
Yeah, Maybe three.
Right, let's go to the next one. Hail, Ross, Penny, Lulu, and the ghost, and of course, Sasha. I don't know. I hear all this stuff, and all I can say is why. Why are they doing all of this? Is it power, money, or what? I mean, they are affected by all the mess they create too, aren't they? Why has it gotten this far and this bad, and why is it all happening in the first place? What does it all mean? From Pam in Alaska, one of our regular listeners. Sasha, what does it all mean?
Ooh, that's quite a question. It is actually the $64 million question, isn't it? And it's one that I ask every day. Why and what? Where it all started, I mean, I don't know. My personal belief is that, you know, I might get slated for this, but all of the Bible stories, I believe, are actually based on UFO sightings and encounters with extraterrestrials or terrestrials, which they are already anyway. You know, why they've created the mess, probably because they didn't predict that this is how it's come. All they are motivated by is power and money. I really can't specifically answer that question, because I wish I knew the answers. If I did know the answers, I'd be a millionaire.
Oh, absolutely. Well, let me help you with this one, because my belief in this is it is money. It's about money and greed. Those with the money and the power want to retain it. And I think the best way of them retaining it is keeping us as the slaves and servants. And the only way they could do that is by creating this global government.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's go to the next one. Next one says, does your guest have any views on chemtrails? As where I live, they are driving me mad, as I cannot find any real information. That's from Sharon in Tamworth.
Well, chemtrails are a real issue. I really can't see what it is they're doing. I know that there's a whole thing about geoengineering and controlling the weather, but they're just making it a lot worse. I've heard theories that, you know, because there's barium, aluminium and all sorts of, you know, metals and plastics, etc., in the, you know, exhaust fumes from the planes, in the trails, that it could be that they are introducing viruses or illnesses into our bloodstreams, because they will be carried. As we breathe in this stuff, the metals are quite easily sliced through the lung tissue, carrying whatever disease they wanted into our systems, and therefore it could be part of population control. It could be part of geoengineering. Look at, you know, when the Mississippi flooded, we had the Hurricane Katrina. There hadn't been seed in the clouds because of, you know, they used all the money for the war. And, you know, so we had these two massive hurricanes happened, which wouldn't have done if there'd been seed in the clouds. But then again, if there wasn't all this stuff in the air, then they probably wouldn't have been as severe anyway. I think that I'm not sure how I feel about the theories of, you know, they're trying to poison us this way. I mean, they are doing, obviously, because it's not natural to us to breathe this stuff in. But, you know, I can't imagine where they're going with it. It's just creating more problems. And and now they're sending rockets into the space to create these clouds so that they can examine them for whatever reasons. But I don't know what they're going
to do. It's all getting mad, isn't it? Because they're even firing missiles into the moon next week or the week after, on October the 9th.
We want to find out if there's water on the moon, when we've just found that there's these, the satellite, it's done a scan, yes, there's water on the moon. They knew that anyway. So
exactly.
What this bomb is for, I think, if you know, if there is any extraterrestrial life on the moon, then it's an antagonistic move.
Oh, absolutely. What actually got me and got my back up was when NASA started advertising on their website for people to have detonation parties, was it? Or impact parties, that was it, impact parties around the world on October the 9th. That's just nuts. But going back to what you said about weather modification, Sasha, let me just pick up on that for a moment, because if you Google Weather Modification Inc., there is actually a company now that are freely advertising that they will change the weather for you for a price. That company are actually trading now. There is a website for them. They're called Weather Modification Inc. If you just Google that, you'll find them. It's just so out there now, it really is.
I can't believe it. They can't be advertising it very well in England because it's always raining.
Well, that's right, yeah.
I'm sure they're asking, can we have some sunny weather, please?
Now, Pam from Alaska comes back and says, is the whole conspiracy thing in itself a conspiracy? Now, Pam, that's a good question, because I've said this myself, and in fact, the theme of my talk at UFO Congress next year is exactly that, conspiracy versus fact. But we have to say that certain conspiracies, like 9/11, Neil, there's more evidence to say that the conspiracies are right than there is to say the government's version is right. So I don't think the whole conspiracy thing is a conspiracy, but there is a lot of disinformation out there as well, isn't there?
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? In every bit of disinformation, there has to be a grain of truth, otherwise it won't work, because people investigate right down to the minutiae. They pick everything apart, so there's got to be something in there that is a reality. So I think when you get all of the theories, there's always something behind it. I think there's quite a lot out there that's just people taking things too far, but if you boil away all the rubbish, you've got a seed or a grain of truth. So if you can, you just have to keep ploughing through them all, reading everything, investigating everything, and you will finally put together something, and it comes together, and you can understand it and see it for what it really is.
Absolutely.
You have to keep telling people. People are automatically going to see this for themselves. You have to push it into people's faces and suggest things at least.
Well, what I would say, Pam, as well, to think about here is when we started talking on this show about the H1N1 virus, and the fact was it was going to come back in September, there was going to be a lot of publicity, we were going to be forced to take vaccinations. You could call that at the time a conspiracy theory, but look what's happened. It's been absolutely correct. So it proves that some conspiracy theories are very much fact, absolutely. Now, let's get back to InfoFeeder for a moment. What do you think the benefits will be to people of the site?
Education.
Mm.
That's it, really. And the fact that you do not have to go all over the place to get it. And because they can all contribute themselves, it's not just one person in their blog or one person in their site and they're saying, oh, no, I don't like your attitude or what you're saying, so I'm going to censor you because it doesn't fit in with my feelings. It's actually, it's a non-hierarchical platform for everyone, and I think the thing that's going to benefit people is that they can educate themselves and that you can do your own research, you can get into how to research, how to investigate, how to find things, it's like going back to school, you have to learn how to learn if you've been out of the system for a long time, it's the same thing, and that's what we want to do. It's about educating people, bringing everyone together. Stop all the nonsense, because at the end of the day, it is a them and us situation. And, we are the guinea pigs. We're the ones at the bottom of the pile, or the pyramid, or whatever, and we really need to come together as one voice.
Absolutely. Now, I think I'll sort of add something to this as well. With every conspiracy theory, don't just take it at face value. Do dig into it. Do go look at it. Do check it out. Because last week, we published a video, or published links to a video through the blog, of an organisation in America that were talking about RFID bracelets and the fact that you're not going to be able to travel between states without wearing them. Now, I spoke to some American friends, and they said two main things. Number one, they'd not heard anything out there about this at all. Yeah. And number two, think what it would cost to make an RFID bracelet for every single American citizen. It ain't going to happen. And then somebody else said something which was very good. He said, look at this whole Area 51 business. There's supposed to be 30 miles of tunnels under Area 51. If there is, who clears the rubbish away? You would know, if there was that amount of tunnels and that amount of stuff going on there, somebody would be from the outside taking the rubbish out, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I think it's where they make McDonald's secret sauce and spices.
Yeah, you might well be right. Let's go back to the email. It's got another one in now. It says, I knew it. Logic just doesn't cut in these matters unless one is prepared to accept the answer. Peace. And that's from Rich, who is in the forum as Dealey Lama. I like that, Dealey Lama. Thank you for that, Rich. Much appreciated. Now, coming back to InfoFeeder, what are your hopes for the future of the InfoFeeder site, Sasha?
Oh, well, we just want to bring people together, and as Richard said, it's like we're at the beginning of a revolution, and this is going to be like an interactive one-stop shop for everybody who wants to have the finger on the pulse without having to go all over the place. And we just really want to help people understand that they are living in a complete illusion, and that it's up to them how deep they get into it, but the information is there for them. And also, support network as well, because people struggle with when you start to realise that actually all of what I'm saying is not necessarily true, where do you go from that? Some people shut down and retreat into the shell and sit in front of the TV, watch EastEnders, take drugs, do whatever, you know, for their distraction, to keep their delusions, because people will always try and maintain a happy equilibrium in their lives.
Absolutely.
So if people are finding things difficult, if they've had UFO abduction experiences, anything, you know, even if they've been in, like, for example, I lived in Beeston, on the street where one of the bombers lived. Now, I was in the middle of it. I know I wasn't in London, and no, I didn't lose anybody, but I actually really struggled with the fact that I had cameras pointed at my house all of the time. And where did I find my comfort? In the people who were the truth seekers, the 9/11 sites who had the 7/7 things going on. They offered me support. And you don't get that. It's what do you do with it when you don't know what to do?
Exactly. So it is about talking to other like-minded people.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm aware of time here, Sasha, because we've only got about a minute left. But very quickly, what do you think the main topics of discussion will be on InfoFeeder?
Oh, well, at the moment, I think it's going to be the swine flu, all of the stuff with Charlie Sheen and Obama, UFOs, you know. It's going to obviously change. The issues change as we go along in time, but it will always be, hopefully, as near to fact as we can get it, without having all the fluff and the rubbish that goes with it.
It's a great site, Sasha, and I'm sure that everyone's going to be signing up to it. It's infofeeder.info.
Yeah.
Sasha, thank you so much for spending an hour with us this evening.
Okay, lovely.
Have a great weekend.
I will, and you.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. There you go, it's Sasha Christie. Doesn't the hour go by quickly? You know, just when you're getting into it and you're discussing with the guest what's going on, your hour's up and you're away. And I'm starting to think now that some of these guests, we ought to give them 2 hours, because there's so much more we could have talked to Sasha about this evening. I'm sure you'll agree. Now, in hour two tonight, we're going to be talking, well, pretty much anything you want to talk about, any questions you've got for me. If you want to come on the air and have a chat, just send your phone number through to us with your email, and we'll get you on the air in hour two. We're also going to be talking for 10 minutes or so with Graham Robertson, who's got the Mystic Fair on this weekend in Glastonbury. He's going to be telling us about some of the people he's got speaking there this weekend, and let me tell you, it's a good lineup. It's going to be real cool. And then in hour three tonight, we're going to be talking to Cliff High, the man behind the Webbot. This is software or website on the internet that seems to be correctly predicting the future. So what could he say about 2012? Stay with us, another 2 hours to go yet. You're listening to Now That's Weird, me, Ross Hemsworth, you, the listeners from around the world, and of course the guests still to come.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Glastonbury Radio, you clever little humanoids.
Friday nights will never be the same again. Get hooked on Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth every Friday night at 9 p.m. GMT.
Zoinks, Scoob!
I smell something weird.
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Are you truly happy? Do you feel that there's more to life, but don't know where to find it? More to Life magazine is the spiritual magazine to enlighten you with simple, easy-to-read articles on everything from angels, stress management and healing, through to Reiki, yoga and meditation. For just £13.50 for a year's subscription, we have the tools to help you discover what you really want from life. Visit moretolifemag.co.uk to find out more about us. Exploration is the path to a better life.
Email the show, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Do you want to reach a global, interactive audience that are into the esoteric, holistic, strange phenomena? It's a niche marketplace, but it could be the right one for you. Advertise or sponsor Now That's Weird. Drop me a line now, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk, and we'll do a deal that suits you. Get your message out to thousands of people all over the world with Now That's Weird.
Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Earlier this month, I interviewed John Harris, a researcher in the legal aspects of the global agenda, mainly with a UK angle. John heads up TPUC, the People's United Community, and is a new breed of researcher that is discovering what every man and woman can do in a practical way to reverse the impositions placed on people today by the state and corporations. Now That's Weird is pleased to announce that we are in the final phase of editing and producing a 2-CD set with John's interview, and this is essential knowledge if you want to challenge the system. And you can now tell your friends how it's done. As an added bonus, on the second disc, there is the first of the interviews I did with Greg Nicoletis from Australia, talking about the most important subject of our age, bodily microchipping. At just £10, including postage and packing, we're aiming to have this ready for sale before the end of the month. If you'd like to be one of the first to obtain a copy, please send an email right now to Kent and Tory at sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk. That's sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll notify you as soon as it's ready for dispatch.
Hi, this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They make me feel f***ing normal.
Hold me in your hands, really make you happy if you want.
something weird.
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space itself and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area that we call... Now That's Weird.
Now that's weird indeed. Still to come in hour three, Cliff High talking about the web bot and its successful predictions across the internet. Well, I'm really looking forward to that interview, hour three tonight. Hour two, it's your time to fire me some questions, anything at all you want to talk about, any of the subjects we've been chatting about this evening, and we'll go into some of those in just a little while. I've got some emails in already, and we'll be going to those in just a little bit. But before we do, I recorded an interview earlier today with Graham Robertson about some of the things that are going on in Glastonbury this weekend, because he's got one of those Mystic and Spirit fairs on, and some interesting stuff, I can tell you, in this. So let's hear from Graham.
Okay, with me now on the phone is Graham Robertson. Now, those of you who listen to the show on a regular basis will know Graham promotes the Mystic and Earth Spirit fairs here in Glastonbury. And Graham, there's one this weekend, I believe.
Yes, Saturday and Sunday, down in the assembly rooms. Yeah, we do them every month, and they come round... very, very quickly, too quick sometimes, because to get all these talks and lectures together is hard work.
Yeah, I can imagine it is. Now, I know my good friend Liz Williams, Dr. Liz Williams, is doing a tarot workshop this weekend, and tell us who else is on the bill.
We've got a lot of our regulars there. We've got Aileen doing readings, Steve Judd, our astrologer, Francis Munro, as well as Liz Williams. We've got quite a large range of therapists as well, doing everything from Indian head to down to your feet.
Excellent. Well, of course, I've been learning the tarot with Liz Williams, so I think I can recommend this course at the moment.
Oh, right. She's not actually doing a course, although that does give me a good idea, because I'll put her down as a reserve. But I've just got her down for doing readings over the weekend.
Oh, she's just doing readings this week. Well, she's one of the best readers in town on tarot, so I recommend that as well.
Yeah, it's very good to get her along. She used to come along, but, years and years ago, back in the, when we were in the town hall. But I don't think she's had that much time of late with her writing and working in the witchcraft shops in town.
Yeah, that's probably true. So what else can people expect this weekend from the Mystic Fair?
Right, I always forget their name. The People's...
United Community?
Yes. TPUC I was looking for. They're going to do a couple of film shows, Saturday and Sunday, and also they're going to be manning an information point. So if you want any details, if you want to find anything out, or if you're just looking for some forms or brochures, they've got everything there. And hopefully we're going to keep them there as a permanent part of the fairs. I think they've got a very, very important message to put out, and that message is that we're all being ripped off.
Mm-hmm. I think we've all known that for a long time. Mm-hmm. And what with elections coming up soon, is it actually going to change? I think probably not. Whoever gets in, we end up with the same government, don't we?
That's not going to change, but I think that when you've got tens and tens of thousands of people actually lawfully rebelling like this... it may be a dice that's already rolling. It'll just continue. Not a dice, it's a rolling stone, isn't it?
That's it, gathering moss as it goes. Just coming back to the Mystic Fair for a moment, how much is it to get in?
It's just a pound.
A pound?
That's all we charge, a pound. If you want to do the talks and lectures, of which there's about 12 over the weekend, then we charge £5 a day, or £9 for the weekend. But a lot of these workshops that we have on would, in fact, cost you something like £10 or £15 individually. Well, we put six on for £5.
Yeah, not bad at all, is it? And when does it all start, Graham?
10 o'clock on Saturday morning, goes through till 7 o'clock Saturday evening, and then again on Sunday from 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. So we go on a little bit longer than most events in town, mainly because we're still busy at 7 o'clock, and 7 o'clock on a Saturday evening, we do have difficulty pushing people out of the hall, and so that we can all get down to the pub afterwards.
Yes, I've heard there's a bit of socialising goes on after the Mystic Fair Saturday evening.
There can be. And it's party nights at lots of venues around around Glastonbury on Saturday evening.
Mm-hmm.
There's one at the George and Pilgrims where the landlord is leaving. There's Louis from Stone Age has his big one elsewhere in town. And then we have a huge blues weekend at the Rifleman's Public House. So it's a very busy weekend in town, and it's a very sunny one as well. Quite unusual.
Now, let me ask you a couple of questions reference local pubs in town, because obviously people listening to the show, some of them get to Glastonbury regularly, some don't. And we've got a couple of major changes, haven't we? The Rifleman's has new management in, so I'm going to ask you first off to tell us how that's going with the new management, and also we're going to see a change of management next week at the George and Pilgrim again. And I'd like your thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, I'm not somebody that enjoys change.
No, me neither, but you are someone who frequents those two establishments.
They're very nice people in the Rifleman's. They're from South Africa, but they've fitted in very well. They're very friendly. It's the same bar staff, so you wouldn't notice any difference at all.
Are they keeping the music up in the same way?
Yes, yeah. That's going on much as it was before, and of course it's the second blues festival.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing changes, and that's more or less because it's not always the management that actually run an establishment.
Yeah.
It's usually the people that work for them.
This is true. Now, what about the George and Pilgrim? Because this is now, I've been in Glastonbury 2 years, and this, I think, will be the fourth different manager coming in that period. Do you think this is good for the town to have our town centre pub keep changing managers in such a way?
No, I think it's awful. When I first moved here, we had the same lady running the George and Pilgrims for, I don't know, maybe 15 years, and before her it was somebody equally as long. And when you change somebody over every month, invariably you change all the staff as well, because you may get on absolutely famously with the present management, and then come the changeover, you don't.
Yeah.
And, so these changes are not appreciated. What happens immediately, of course, is that the entire menu changes.
Mm. Yeah, and that's then, another thing, isn't it?
And then the entire staff changes in the kitchen. And there's maybe a complaint that you get that people come back and say, oh, yeah, you want to eat there. It's absolutely wonderful. I had a brilliant meal there. They're ever so nice and friendly. And your friends go there, and they have a bloody awful meal, because in the meantime, everything's changed.
Yeah, this is the trouble, isn't it? And it happens so often. As I say, this is the fourth management change at that particular pub, and it is the focal point of the high street. I mean, tourists and locals tend to descend upon the George and Pilgrim, and it is a shame when you haven't got that continuity of management there.
Yes, yeah. Fingers crossed, there's another couple coming in, and who knows?
Yeah, we'll see how we go with them. Well, let's come back to the Mystic Fair just for a moment. It starts at 10 o'clock on Saturday, goes on all day Saturday and Sunday. Just run us through again the list of the talks that are going on.
Okay. We're going to start off on Saturday with ribbon reading with Angie Smith. Now, this is an old ancient art, and I've actually had to do this myself before. You don't really need any special skills. It's just your imagination. So it's a workshop. You will be doing it. That's at 11 o'clock. Now, we did have Eddie Dalton to do a talk that many people were looking forward to. Unfortunately, he's had a bit of bad luck this year with relatives departing this earth. And his poor old mum-in-law's ill in hospital, so we've excused him on this one.
Yeah.
We've got The Outer Planets with Steve Judd instead. And Steve's a brilliant astrologer. He's our regular one. And I have noticed that when he does do a talk, it's pretty full downstairs. Mainly because we seem to have a lot of astrologers in the town. Edmund Marriage, after that, brilliant presentations he does. And this is the builders of the Egyptian pyramids and why they were built. So it's a 90-minute PowerPoint presentation. And it's about the origins and the builders of the pyramids and their purposes. So these are absolutely fascinating. We've got It's an Illusion, and this is by tpuc.org. Following on that...
Now, is that John Harris or is someone else doing that?
No, it's not John Harris. It's a couple of the lads that live in Bristol that back him up.
Right.
We've got the Glastonbury Zodiac with Yuri Lech, another PowerPoint presentation. A slightly alternative one, and as you know, most of the talks that we do here tend to have a slightly different feel than what most people would expect. We're following that up with our final one of the day around 5:30, and this is a pendulum dowsing workshop. I've got down that it's Peter Woods. I know that Peter is attending a funeral this weekend, so somebody will be covering for him on that one. Sad old time for a lot of people attending funerals or looking after sick relatives.
There seems to be something around at the moment. You know, a lot of people are getting bad luck and bad fortune coming their way. Some people are saying it's down to Mercury in retrograde, which I think comes out of retrograde this weekend, thank God. But there does seem to be a general feeling around that people's lives are either on hold or just not going anywhere at the moment.
Yeah, I actually did a... I don't often do tarot readings, but I was doing one quite recently, and the person I was actually doing was, don't do anything, just leave things as they are, and that seems to be very much for everybody at the moment. Let's just tickle on as we are, and look, you know, changes are all around us, it would seem, but it's kind of a waiting period.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, give us the website where people can find out more about your mystic fairs.
Okay, it's Glastonbury Fairs. That's fairs spelt F-A-Y-R-E-S .co.uk. So you'll find a list of most of the exhibitors on there, and certainly all the talks and lectures are up on there as well. So 2 days of it. I didn't give you the Sunday, but if you want that very quickly, we've got a psychometry workshop Sunday morning, followed by the forbidden history of Glastonbury, and that's followed by another workshop, Discovering Tibetan Thinning Bowls. We've got a big Tibetan stand there. Followed by a regression workshop with Dr. Elizabeth Diamond, the film It's an Illusion again, and a dowsing workshop. So Sunday, it's nearly all workshops, all things that you can do, and it's a five if you want, five or if you want to attend all of those on either day.
Fantastic, and it's at the Assembly Rooms, which is in the High Street in Glastonbury. The website again, www.glastonburyfairs.co.uk, fairs spelled F-A-Y-R-E-S. Graham, thanks very much for that, and we'll see you down there at the weekend.
All right, thanks then, Ross. Bye.
Cheers now, bye-bye.
Email the show, Ross, at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Hi, this is Ross, and you may have heard me talk about the great UFO Congress tour next year. Well, we're leaving in February, and around about 20 of you can be coming with us. But time is short, you need to book soon. The tour is going to fly out to Phoenix in Arizona, and then from there we're on to Sedona, where we're staying at the Hotel La Quinta, followed by a trip up to the Grand Canyon National Park, staying at the Grand Canyon Grand Hotel. From there we're going to be going up into Nevada to visit the Little Alien in Rachel, Nevada, and hopefully as near as we can to Area 51. And then from there we're travelling down to UFO Congress, 7 days and 8 nights of the greatest speakers from all over the world on the subject of UFOs, on the banks of the Colorado River, just across the river from Arizona. If you want to be part of this, just go to www.megalithictours.com. That's www.megalithictours.com. Get your deposit in now, secure your place, because there are only 20 places and they're selling real fast. I'll be there, so will Penny. Hope you will too.
Love and Light Events present
the Avalon Fairy Ball on Saturday the 3rd of October at the Glastonbury Town Hall, featuring artists Brian Frau, Josephine Wall, Linda Ravenscroft, Peter Prokovnik, Courtney Davis and more. At the Avalon Fairy Ball there'll be music from the Dolmen, fairy fashion shows and much, much more. The Fairy Fair is open between 11 and 5pm and entry is free. The Avalon Fairy Ball starts at 8pm.
Tickets are £20, available from theferryball.co.uk or 01736 330
Are you truly happy? Do you feel that there's more to life but don't know where to find it? More to Life magazine is the spiritual magazine to enlighten you with simple, easy to read articles on everything from angels, stress management and healing, through to Reiki, yoga and meditation. For just £13.50 for a year's subscription, we have the tools to help you discover what you really want from life. Visit moretolifemag.co.uk to find out more about us. Exploration is the path to a better life. The Connections Magazine, the leading independent free guides to personal development, natural therapies and all things mystic. The three regional magazines cover the Southwest, London and Southeast and the Midlands, with articles and columns by Dr. Alan Sweeney, Barbara Brennan, Dr. Keith Hearn, Joseph Sarah, Karen Kay, Gail Force and many more. Why not advertise from only £230 a year? Your events, therapies, centres, courses and workshops, retreats, readings, products for sale, organic and vegetarian shops. With us, to our thousands of like-minded readers. See theconnections.co.uk or phone 01747 823 424.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Hi, this is Ross. Check out my new daily blog at nomadrush.blogspot.com. That's nomadrush.blogspot.com, and keep up to date with what's really happening out there.
Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Yes, welcome back to Now That's Weird with me, Ross Hemsworth. Still to come in hour three tonight, we're going to be talking to Cliff High about the Webbot and how it's making seemingly correct predictions for our future. More about that, as I say, in hour three. Now, lots of emails coming in now, and keep them coming in, Ross, at nowthatsweird.co.uk, because through to 11, this is your part of the programme. If you want me to have a chat to you on air, then just put your phone number on the email, and we may well be calling you between now and 11 o'clock UK time. Sometime in the next 35 minutes. Now, I got an email earlier today which I want to read out to you. I've put the links up to this in the chat room, so if you go to nowthatsweird.co.uk and go into the chat room, you'll be able to see the links there and click on them, because they're too big to read out. But this was from Laurie in Cornwall, and she said, I've seen a few links this week which could be of interest to anyone concerned about the swine flu pandemic and forced vaccinations. I firstly came across this link from the Republic of Lakatar, an Aboriginal group in the USA. and she gives me the link, which is too long to read out, but the main website is Republic of Lakotah, lakotah.com, but the link, as I say, is in the chat room. The first two paragraphs read as follows, she says. Last week, many of the Aboriginal people in the remote west coast village of Ahosat, I think it's pronounced, were inoculated with the Tamiflu vaccine. Today, over 100 of them are sick, and the sickness is spreading. In the same week, body bags were being sent to similarly remote native reserves in northern Manitoba, who have also received the Tamiflu vaccine. Well, bear in mind, the Tamiflu is different to the vaccine that they're now prescribing for, allegedly anyway, for swine flu. But Tamiflu is something that there's been large stocks of that they're trying to shift, obviously. Now, she goes on to say, the next link can't be pasted as it's simply a photo on someone's Facebook page, someone I do not know personally, she says. It is a letter to the hospital staff at the Mercy Medical Center in New York, and it opens thus. New York State has mandated that seasonal flu and licensed H1N1 swine vaccinations are now required for continued employment as a healthcare worker in the state. Presently, there are very limited contraindications to flu vaccination, documented allergies to eggs or gentamicin, a previous episode of Guillain-Barre, or a life-threatening reaction to a previous influenza vaccination, close brackets. These medical contraindications must be documented by your physician. This is very interesting, as clearly the benefits of the vaccine are being touted as being far exceeding the possible risks from the vaccine. So if eggs cause a problem for you, but it was not life-threatening, then that should be an acceptable risk somehow, question mark. Or if your last influenza vaccination made you very sick, well, that's okay as long as it wasn't life-threatening. Hmm, says Laurie. The last link came from my mother, who lives in Washington State, and saw this article this morning. And this is seattletimes.nwsource.com. And it says, the first paragraph reads, in preparation for swine flu vaccinations next month, Washington's health department on Thursday temporarily suspended a rule that limits the amount of mercury, of a mercury preservative, in vaccines given to pregnant women and children under the age of 3. So not only does this unnecessary and toxic ingredient get to be added to this brand new and under-tested vaccine, but they are allowed to exceed the safe limit without fears of reprisal. She goes on to say, I forgot to mention in the original letter, but perhaps you'll remember this much. In Canadian law, mentioned in the Lakotah article, the Aborigines are not allowed to refuse medical treatment or experimentation. Apparently it is an old law, but it's still in force. And that's, well, that's quite worrying, isn't it? And again, these letters, you've got to bear in mind they're third-party things, but certainly on an Aboriginal website, for something like that to be published, it is a little scary, I have to say. Right, let's go to some of the other emails. I missed my chance to ask about the massive foreign object that's just cleared the sun. Project Camelot got a NASA image sent to them, and it's probably a fake, but... Gar, I'm so sleepy tonight. Night, Ross and the gang, Mike, in Oxford. Right, thanks for that, Mike. If he's still listening, he's probably gone to bed by now. But yes, I had heard that it was a fake, the foreign object in front of the sun, but I don't think anyone's proved that 100% yet. And of course, there is this ongoing discussion about whether Planet X or Nibiru is now being sighted at the side of the sun. So keep an eye on that one. Project Camelot apparently doing some work on that, so keep an eye on that one. Hi, Ross. Hi, Penny. Talking of 2012, I think something more conventional could be unfolding. The USA has today rattled the saber hard at the Iranians over their nuclear program, and it's common knowledge that Israel is itching to attack Iran, the issue being that the Russians and the Chinese heavily back Iran. I don't want to scaremonger, but I'm sure the US seems intent on causing or creating a global conflict. Out of what will emerge, who knows? And that's from Ray in Newport in Gwent. Thank you, Ray. And yes, that is a bit concerning. I've been following that story today, and Gordon Brown, Barack Obama, and various others, I think the French president, have all given warnings of possible trade sanctions and some sort of kickback if they don't shut down this second nuclear plant where they think they might be making weapons of mass destruction. Anyone remember that story coming up once before? Yes, shut down the weapons of mass destruction, or we might put trade restrictions on you. And what was that? A few weeks before they bombed Iraq the first time. So watch this space on that one. Thanks for that, Ray. Hi, Ross. Please could you mention Facebook International UFO Skywatch on the 25th of October 2009. On this day, we have an opportunity to have a worldwide Skywatch for a 24-hour period. You can help to watch the skies over your local neighbourhood. You do not have to travel miles to an area. You just sit in your garden and look up. Granted, if you wish to travel, then that's your personal choice, but it's not needed to take part. Why not get one or two friends together who share your interest in the UFO subject and watch together? Now, again, there's a link here, and it's too big to read out, but if you go onto Facebook and do a search for UFO Skywatch... Oh, I've clicked on the wrong thing here. You should be able to find it... hold on a second, what's it called? Yes, UFO Skywatch. So if you do a search for that. But I'll post this link anyway in the Now That's Weird chat room again. If I put that in now, you should be able to go and click on the link. That's the Facebook link just gone up there now in the chat room. So you can check that one out. And many thanks there to Melanie Trinder. Sorry, is that Melanie? Oh, yeah, it is. Melanie Trinder. So I've got the right one. No problems, Melanie. Happy to do that for you. Greetings, Ross. I just wanted to remind everyone that there is such thing as spiritual self-defense for those who are worried about biological weapons and psychic attack. I recommend researching and mastering chakra and kundalini meditations for boosting the immune system and the nervous system, but most importantly for taking your consciousness to a level much higher than the mass mind, where all the illusion and control takes place. Blessings from Matthew Dwight in Melbourne, Australia. Matthew, thank you for that. Good to know you're listening in Australia tonight. Good to hear from you. Hello, Ross. What happened about the bet you put on to prove life after death? Did you lose your £100? I was thinking it would be a good idea to get Michael Roll on the show, but he doesn't seem to have got any further forward since the 1980s. Fantastic show as always. All the best from Alan in Spain. Oh, we're getting them from all over the world tonight, aren't we? Thank you, Alan. Yes, Michael Roll has been on the program before, and he's, in fact, he's been on two or three times, and perhaps we should get him back, see where he's up to. With regards to my bet, yes, I did a silly thing, really. I put a £100 bet with William Hill saying that I could prove the existence of an afterlife within a year, and then found I was so busy over that year I didn't get a chance to do any experiments. So it's a bit silly, really. I think next time I do a bet with William Hill, I'm going to actually plan out the time first. And what I'd like to do, and I've wanted to do for some time, is to actually rent an old castle for a year and just live there for a year and do this experiment, because I think I could prove this given enough time. See, one of the things that most paranormal groups don't do is they don't spend long enough in a haunted building. What they do is they go in for one night or two nights or even sometimes three, but then that's it, that's all they do. Now, when I did the Ghost Detectives TV series, I have to say that it took me 4 nights normally before things started to happen, because once you start to take a lot of equipment into a building, you disturb the electromagnetic energy within that building. So it takes a little while for that to actually resonate down and for the things to go back to normal. And as I say, 4 days before anything happened on most of the investigations we went on. Now, I reckon if you spent a year in somewhere, and there was someone actually some years ago doing this at Muncaster Castle, I don't know if they still are, doing a long-term scientific investigation. Now, of course, something like this would have to be funded, and that's half the problem, because you need to actually take a year off anything else to go and do it. So that's number one problem. Number two is we need some pretty high-tech equipment to go in there and do it properly, because we have to do this as a scientific investigation. But if you know anyone that's happens to have a castle with a couple of spare rooms in it, willing to do a year-long ghost hunt and finance it, then do drop me a line. It's something I've wanted to do for some time. But in answer to the question, no, I didn't get a chance to do it, and it was a bit of a shame, because the odds they gave me, I think it was 10,000 to 1, £100 would have got me a million, which we could have done quite a lot with, couldn't we? Never mind, these things happen. Right, let's have a look at the chat room. Looking at the chat room tonight, we've got quite a few people in there. Fenergy's in there, Shamrock's in there, Conspiracy 2012, John Warren Oakes from Kentucky, the Dealey Lama, Prism, Nardi, who else is in there? Pam, I think, from Alaska is around somewhere as well. So people from all over the world there in the chat room tonight. And Nardi just says, Harry Price did that at Borley. Yes, but so long ago and without all the scientific equipment, Nardi, that's the problem. So, yeah, it's a difficult one. To do that, you've literally got to take a year off work, haven't you, to do it. So it's makes it a bit difficult. Right, also got to tell you about the UK Probe Conference. Now, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be playing out some archived Now That's Weird, because next week I'm going to be in Blackpool, or Lytham St Anne's to be precise, for the Probe International Conference, and the week after I'm going to be at the Cornwall UFO Conference. So let's tell you a little bit about Probe, first off. It's a two-day event. It is at Lytham St Anne's. The venue is the YMCA in St Anne's, St Albans Road. Sorry, the YMCA St Anne's, St Albans Road, St Anne's, Lancashire. And the people on the list here, speakers on the Saturday, Kathy Rowan Druitt, Richard D. Hall, Mark Bennett and Dolores Cannon. Dolores from America, very fantastic, you've got to see her. On the Sunday, Vitaly Safarov, Ross Hemsworth, don't know who he is, Clint Denyer and Dolores Cannon again, doing the second part of her presentation. It's a two-day event spanning the whole weekend up there, very close to Blackpool. There are still some tickets available, although this always does sell out, this event, so don't leave it too late. Every year it sells out. The website is www.ukprobe.com. That's www.ukprobe.com. And I'm going to be there next week, so no show next Friday. The following Friday is another archive show, because I'm going to be down in Cornwall. I'm speaking at the Cornish UFO Conference in Truro in Cornwall on the Saturday, and the link to that is on the website somewhere. I'm looking around for it, can't find it at the moment, but it is on there. But if you Google Cornish UFO Conference in Truro, you'll find it. That's the following weekend, and as I say, the details are somewhere on the website. If you want to go and have a quick look, you will find them. Now, don't forget, still to come tonight, we're going to be talking to Cliff High about the Webbot. And any questions you've got for Cliff, get those in early, because I think it's going to be a very popular hour. The Webbot has been correct in predictions for some considerable time, and people can't understand why, because it's just an internet site that seems to gain information from other sites, put them together in some form of format, and then make predictions. Now, the guy behind it's going to be explaining a lot more about it in hour three, but I find it intriguing that it's correctly predicted so many things so far. And if you go on many of the main conspiracy sites, you'll find that everybody's talking about the Webbot. Well, we're going to find out a lot more about that in hour three this evening, believe me. Now, I want to tell you about some other bits and pieces as well. I mentioned earlier about Liz Williams doing tarot. She's going to be doing some tarot readings at the Mystic Fair this weekend. And I've been learning some stuff about the tarot. And one very interesting thing, we talk about conspiracies and how they come about. Now, I've been a fan of some of Ian Crane's work, as you know, who does the alternative view functions. But some of his work that he's featured on the show has actually been trampled on a little this week, because he says in one of his presentations that the Twin Towers, the 9/11 event, is shown very clearly on the tarot card of the Burning Tower. And he said, down in the bottom right-hand corner is a sign of Big Pharma. And it is a sign of a stick with what looks like a serpent wrapped round it, very similar to the sign of the pharmaceutical industries. But it actually turns out, when we looked at it and studied it and asked Liz about it, that it's actually the initials and signature of the lady that devised the tarot deck. So there's absolutely no link whatsoever with the pharmaceutical industry. So we have to be careful when we're out there doing these presentations to hundreds of people, not to give out information that's not well enough researched. And certainly, Ian, if you're listening tonight, and I know you do tune into the show occasionally, I'd whip that one out of the presentation now if I was you, because it is logically explainable, and it may affect some of the other things. The trouble is with this, as I find with my own presentations, if I put something across to a large audience at a presentation, and one single piece of it is wrong, it then throws doubt on everything else I've said, because they'll say, well, if that bit's wrong, all the rest can be. So you have to be so thorough when you're out there doing these things. And to find out that this was actually the initials of the person that did the tarot deck, it's sort of threw a little bit of doubt on the whole thing. So that was a bit of a surprise. Now, the other thing is, talking about these latest UFO sightings. Now, I don't know if any of you have seen anything in the last couple of weeks, but parts of America are reporting a large black triangular craft. Now, you may recall back in the, I think it was the mid-80s or early 90s, there was a whole string of these triangular black craft spotted all over the place, the size of a football pitch. They were constantly being reported, and then they just seemed to disappear. All the reportings of late have been glowing lights, pulsing lights, craft that changed shape in the sky, but nothing with the black triangles. So all of a sudden the black triangles are back. So what's going on there? Is this a black ops military craft, or is it something from elsewhere? What do you think? Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk. Other things I want to talk about, I want to know what you think about the whole idea of chemtrails. What are your views? Do you think they're logically explainable, or are we experiencing a phenomena created by our own governments? And if so, what's the agenda? Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk. Our haunting, your views on that, what do you think's going on here, and why does it stop and start, do you think? Why is it that it happens for very short periods, doors opening, handles turning on their own, and then nothing happens for months? Why do you think that is? And also, do you believe that with energy lines, they flow in different directions? I was dowsing the other day, I took the dowsing rods round, and found that the direction of the energy that comes through here is coming going towards the tour, not from the tour, is actually heading into the tour. So that was interesting, because I often feel it's going the other way. So could it be tidal? Does it actually change from one way to the other? Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Email the show, Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Hi, this is Ross, and you may have heard me talk about the Great UFO Congress Tour next year. Well, we're leaving in February, and around about 20 of you can be coming with us. But time is short, you need to book soon. The tour is going to fly out to Phoenix in Arizona, and then from there we're on to Sedona, where we're staying at the Hotel La Quinta, followed by a trip up to the Grand Canyon National Park, staying at the Grand Canyon Grand Hotel. From there we're going to be going up into Nevada to visit the Little Alien in Rachel, Nevada, and hopefully as near as we can to Area 51. And then from there, we're travelling down to UFO Congress, 7 days and 8 nights of the greatest speakers from all over the world on the subject of UFOs, on the banks of the Colorado River, just across the river from Arizona. If you want to be part of this, just go to www.megalithictours.com. That's www.megalithictours.com. Get your deposit in now, secure your place, because there are only 20 places and they're selling real fast. I'll be there, so will Penny. Hope you will too.
Love and Light Events present
the Avalon Fairy Ball on Saturday the 3rd of October at the Glastonbury Town Hall, featuring artists Brian Frow, Josephine Wall, Linda Ravenscroft, Peter Prokovnik, Chetney Davis and more. At the Avalon Fairy Ball there'll be music from the Dolmen, fairy fashion shows and much, much more. The Fairy Fair is open between 11 and 5pm and entry is free. The Avalon Fairy Ball starts at 8pm.
Tickets are £20, available from theferryball.co.uk or 01736 330 201.
Are you truly happy? Do you feel that there's more to life but don't know where to find it? More to Life magazine is the spiritual magazine to enlighten you with simple, easy to read articles on everything from angels, stress management and healing, through to Reiki, yoga and meditation. For just £13.50 for a year subscription, we have the tools to help you discover what you really want from life. Visit moretolifemag.co.uk to find out more about us. Exploration is the path to a better life. The Connections magazine, the leading independent free guides to personal development, natural therapies and all things mystic. The three regional magazines cover the Southwest, London and Southeast and the Midlands, with articles and columns by Dr. Alan Sweeney, Barbara Brennan, Dr. Keith Hearn, Joseph Sarah, Karen Kay, Gail Force and many more. Why not advertise from only £230 a year? Your events, therapies, centres, courses and workshops, retreats, readings, products for sale, organic and vegetarian shops. With us to our thousands of like-minded readers. See theconnections.co.uk or phone 01747 823 424. For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Hi, this is Ross. Check out my new daily blog at nomadrush.blogspot.com. That's nomadrush.blogspot.com. And keep up to date with what's really happening out there.
Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Yes, don't forget you can join the chat room as well at nowthatsweird.co.uk. If you're not already a member of the website, you just register. It's totally free. Penny will get you activated and get you in there. And some new people I'm seeing in there as well. Mel Trind has just said, thank you, Ross, for mentioning Facebook International UFO Skywatch. No problem there, Mel. Happy to do that. And the Dalai Lama says, there's a castle in Windsor with public funding. I'd consider it money well spent. Thank you, Dalai Lama. Love that. Very, very good. Outtelligent says, Ross, you should put spoons at the top of your stairs before you go to bed. Why? So the ghost can eat? I don't get that one. Explain. Right, Nardi. Hey, Ross, why not try some EVP Q&A sessions in your house? You might get some results. Do you know what, Nardi? I was talking to Penny about that just the other day, that we ought to maybe set up a night vision camera and maybe do something with that, and also EVP. So thanks for that. Much appreciated. Outtelligent says, I find it will encourage the energy in the house, the spoons. Ah, right. Okay, Outtelligent, thank you for that. Much appreciated. I want to say hi to Simon in Ealing in West London tonight. He said, it's a few things on here. He said, love to do the castle too for a year. Best to you and Penny. And plug time. Remember I got Glastonbury Radio and Now That's Weird plugged by a live plinther in Trafalgar Square. It went out not only on the net but also on Sky Arts. Oh, brilliant. Well done, Simon. Thank you for that. He said, I listened a lot today on Glastonbury Radio, and to be honest, yours and Trevor and Lizzie's show are still the mutt's nuts on the station. Thank you, mate. Much appreciated. And he goes on to say about some of the other things. Well, there are some new shows coming, Simon, as well. We've got Mike Mendoza joining the station, the legendary broadcaster from Talk Sport. We've also got Open Minds, a brand new Open Minds paranormal show coming on the station real soon as well. We've also got another paranormal and conspiracy show coming on. So a lot of new stuff coming on that's going to be really good. So keep an eye on the site, GlastonburyRadio.net, for details of that. Now let's get back to the emails. Hi Ross, I was talking to a pub landlord in the southeast a couple of months ago, and he started to tell me he was having trouble sleeping. It wasn't insomnia, but hooves clattering down the road outside every night, except there isn't a horse. To do some kind of paranormal research, it would help to get some form of consistency in event timing, and this seems to be every night at the same time. Clearly this is very interesting, and I'm off to camp alongside the roadside over the next few weeks to see if I can get some first-hand experience of this, and I will keep you posted. Great show as always, and that's from Stuart in Hove. Thank you, Stuart. Much appreciated. And yes, you're absolutely right. Where you've got something that's quite often a playback, where it's happening on a regular basis, it's like almost like a 3D video replay. We often call this the stone wall theory, or the crystal storage theory, where something replays over and over again at the same time. Best results for this wouldn't necessarily be for you to be on the side of the road, because that may actually stop it from happening. I don't know. What I would suggest is leaving some sort of tape recording out to see if you can record the sound of the horse's hooves coming up, and maybe a blacklight camera or a nightlight camera, night vision should I say, and do it that way. See if you can actually maybe cooperate between the video and what's on the recording. Also maybe take some pictures if you hear the noise as well. We did this in Gettysburg a few years ago, where there was cannon fire going on at 6:30 in the morning. Now obviously it wasn't going on, but we could hear it and we recorded it, and around about the same time we caught a whole load of orbs on the Saxe covered bridge there as well, on the Gettysburg battlefield. So some interesting corroborations of things happening all around the same time. Always good evidence. But thanks for bringing that to our attention. And let me know, keep me posted on that, on how you get on, because those sort of things I always find really interesting. Now those of you that know my background, I got into all of this strange paranormal game through, well, ghost busting, I suppose you would say, although I've never busted a ghost in my life, wouldn't know how to. The whole idea really that got me into it was I met up with a guy who said, oh, you've got to come out and come on some of these paranormal investigations with us, because I want to make a TV program about it. And I, you know, at the time I was totally sceptic. I didn't believe that ghosts existed. I didn't believe that the paranormal was, well, anything other than explainable by rational or logical means. So I went out to a few so-called haunted houses. We started actually with a museum in Bedfordshire. And it was so prehistoric. I mean, there's four or five people sitting on the floor with pens and pencils and notepads waiting for Fred the ectoplasm to jump through the wall, grab their hands and say, hi, I'm Fred and I'm dead, and they could all go home happy that they've seen a ghost. And of course, it doesn't work like that. We all would love to see the full-body apparition at every single ghost hunt. It doesn't happen like that. So I thought, well, okay, if we're going to do something with this, we need to go away and do something scientific. We need to put some equipment together. We need to do things on a different scale. And we made a program called Ghost Detectives, which was shown on UK Horizons, 6 one-hour shows presented by Tom Baker, the former Doctor Who. Now, that led on to all the other programs you see today, like Ghost Hunters in America and Most Haunted and various other shows, which are, to me, are not a patch on what we actually did with the groundbreaking series Ghost Detectives. We then went on to do Ghost Watch Live with the BBC from the Tower of London, which was a 2-day live event, and again got loads of very, very strange things going on caught on camera. And we sort of set the track, really, for others to follow. Now, Jason Carl once told me in a private meeting that Yvette Fielding and her husband, Carl, based a lot of their original ideas on Ghost Detectives, having seen it, and then created Most Haunted. I just wish that they'd have kept it more scientific. But, of course, Living is an entertainment channel, whereas UK Horizons was a factual channel. So, a very different way of doing things. But after Ghost Detectives, I set up a thing called the Phantom or Fraud Project. And the whole idea of that was to go out and look for paranormal activity and look into it. What I didn't realise at the time is when we all start these quests, and I'm sure everyone listening to the show tonight has a quest of their own of some kind, which is why you listen to programmes like this. And what you don't realise is where that quest is going to take you. Because from talking about ghosts and the paranormal, I went from there into Knights Templar. I was being attracted to Knights Templar sites, and I didn't know why. I experienced clairvoyance over a long period of time. I couldn't understand how that was happening. It took me out to America to look at interdimensional research at the New Jersey Vortex. I came back, did a whole load of interdimensional research here. And in fact, my talks at Probe and at Cornwall are about interdimensional entities and gateways. Then I started to work on things like Rosslyn Chapel, sound frequencies, how we could open portals. So the research sort of went in so many different directions. So when you listen to the show, please bear in mind that it's not just someone here spieling off about the paranormal that doesn't know anything about it. This is from someone who has done the research, who has seen these things, who has encountered ghosts, or what we believe to be ghosts, head on, seen apparitions, heard voices that weren't there. I've actually disappeared for 10 minutes when I was being videoed. I wasn't actually in the video, completely disappeared for 10 minutes near Loch Ness. There's been so many strange things that have happened in my life that I can actually now stand up on the stage and say quite openly, you may not want to believe what I'm telling you, but these things actually happened to me. Now let's go back to the emails. Stuart from Hove, we've done that one. I grew up next to an airfield, Duxford, and underneath International Flight Path, so I'm confident when I say that for me, chemtrails are a recent phenomena. Perhaps 10 years ago I twigged there were contrails hanging about all day. I am now 30. I have no proof of anything in terms of cause or effect, but I find them deeply sinister, otherworldly almost. Not much use, I know, but there it is. Peace from Rich, that's Dalai Lama in the chat room. Thank you for that, Rich. Yeah, chemtrails again. They're another one that totally intrigued me. Penny and I have stood out in the garden here before and watched crisscross patterns appear across the sky. And people say, oh yeah, they're contrails from aircraft because you're on a flight path. Well, actually, no, we're not. Aircraft come over the top of the Mendip Hills, but they come over in set patterns. They don't crisscross across the top of us. So why are we getting like a noughts and crosses board painted across the sky over the top of us? Because that's not the set flight paths that fly through this area. Also, with contrails, they do disappear quite quickly. The only times they hang around is if there's massive air temperatures between the different levels in the sky. And this only happens at certain times of the year where there's massive temperature differences. I mean, obviously at different heights there are massive temperature differences, but we're talking about in the same area. Now, even then, they don't stay in the same way. If you look at a chemtrail, they tend to widen out. They actually expand. They start off as a thin line or two thin lines, but they expand right out. And what tends to happen is that crisscross pattern will eventually take all of the blue out the sky above you and completely cover you in cloud. Now, this could be for cloud seeding to produce rain. Perhaps the governments are aware of the fact we need more water, we're running short on water, and they're trying to create more. That's a possibility. But quite often these cloudy skies don't actually rain, they just seem to blot out the sun. Another idea that was put to me some time ago was that perhaps they're helping to cover the gaps in the ozone layer so we don't get exposed to too much sunlight. That's another possibility. Then of course the conspiracy theories say, well, perhaps they're poisoning us, perhaps they're putting something in the air for depopulation. Have you noticed since chemtrails have been happening there's been more cases of asthma? Well, I can't answer in any of these. I mean, all I can say to you is these are all theories. They're all out there. People are researching. There are certainly a lot of people now that are clearly getting calcium, potassium, and various other aluminium, I think it is, deposits when these chemtrails are happening that they're not getting at any other time. You may remember I had a guy from Washington State on the program a while back talking about exactly this, that he'd done those tests, and every single time the chemtrails come over, so that he was getting this calcium and aluminium deposits in the test that he wasn't getting at any other time. So what's your thoughts? Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk. What do you think is causing these things? Is it some sort of conspiracy? Could it even possibly be UFOs blotting out the sky so we can't see what's going on up there at the moment? It sounds strange. I don't know what you think. Let me know. Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk. Now, I want to finish this hour off just by talking about NASA's project, which starts in 2 weeks' time. October the 9th, they're going to be firing missiles into the south pole of the moon. Now, this is quite clearly visible on NASA's website. If you just search LCROSS, which is the name of the project, L-C-R-O-S-S, LCROSS, you'll find there's a page on there where they're actually encouraging you to have impact parties around the world on October the 9th as they blow the hell out the moon. Now, NASA is saying basically, oh no, there's no explosion, the missiles are just going in to seek for water. But the Indian space mission that's up there at the moment has already told us this week that they've found water on the moon. So do we still need to go ahead and blow missiles into the South Pole? Now, what's worrying a lot of people right now is that this could possibly have an adverse effect on the gravity of the moon, and even possibly take it off its axis. Now, I don't actually believe that would happen, not with just firing missiles into one place. But the big problem is many scientists believe that the moon is actually hollow. Now, if it is, the missile is going to go straight through. It's not going to stop in one place. And this is where the problem could occur. If the moon was thrown off of its axis, it's going to be drawn into the Earth's gravitational pull, and it's going to come hurtling towards us, and we don't want that to happen. Now, that's a far-fetched possibility, I'll admit. It's not something that's likely to happen, but the trouble is we've never fired missiles into the moon before. And when you've never done something before, no matter how many tests you've done on Earth, you're doing it in a different environment. And what worries me is they're firing in an area they've never fired in before. No gravitation, a different pull to the Earth's gravity altogether on the moon. You're talking about something that could really go any way. If the missile was to go slightly off course or hit somewhere that it shouldn't, there's so many possibilities here. Now, I'm not going to sort of scaremonger with this, and I'm just going to say that the chances are nothing much will happen. They'll just find out if there's water on the south pole of the moon. But what worries me is all the things that could happen, and I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but you might like to drop me a line, let me know what you think, and we'll come to that at some point whilst we're talking to Cliff High in Hour 3. Now, don't forget, coming up in Hour 3, we're going to be talking about the Webbot. The Webbot has been incredibly successful at predicting the future. How does this happen? Stay tuned. Hopefully we'll let you know.
Friday night. This is Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Glastonbury Radio, you clever little humanoids.
Friday nights will never be the same again. Get hooked on Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth every Friday night at 9 p.m. GMT. Are you truly happy? Do you feel that there's more to life but don't know where to find it? More to Life magazine is the spiritual magazine to enlighten you with simple, easy-to-read articles on everything from angels, stress management and healing, through to Reiki, yoga and meditation. For just £13.50 for a year's subscription, we have the tools to help you discover what you really want from life. Visit moretolifemag.co.uk to find out more about us. Exploration is the path to a better life. Email the show, Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Earlier this month, I interviewed John Harris, a researcher in the legal aspects of the global agenda, mainly with a UK angle. John heads up TPUC, the People's United Community, and is a new breed of researcher that is discovering what every man and woman can do in a practical way to reverse the impositions placed on people today by the state and corporations. Now That's Weird is pleased to announce that we are in the final phase of editing and producing a 2-CD set with John's interview, and this is essential knowledge if you want to challenge the system, and you can now tell your friends how it's done. As an added bonus, on the second disc, it was the first of the interviews I did with Greg Nicoletis from Australia, talking about the most important subject of our age, bodily microchipping. At just £10, including postage and packing, we're aiming to have this ready for sale before the end of the month. If you'd like to be one of the first to obtain a copy, please send an email right now to Kenton Tory at sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk. That's sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll notify you as soon as it's ready for dispatch.
Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Do you want to reach a global, interactive audience that are into the esoteric, holistic, strange phenomena? It's a niche marketplace, but it could be the right one for you. Advertise or sponsor Now That's Weird. Drop me a line now, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk, and we'll do a deal that suits you. Get your message out to thousands of people all over the world with Now That's Weird.
Zoink, Scoob! I smell something weird!
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Hi, this is your old pal Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They make me feel f***ing normal.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space itself and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area that we call... Now that's weird.
Yes, welcome back. We're in hour three of the show with me, Ross Hemsworth, and about 53 minutes still to go of the programme. Let me tell you a little about my next guest. I asked him what prompted him to start this up, and he said the universe prompted the idea that language shifts before events. I stumbled across the idea in 1994 and have been noodling it ever since. As a programmer and a software designer, the idea took root within my thinking about language on the internet. His name's Cliff High. He said that's the name he uses professionally. Cliff, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Now, whereabouts are we calling you this evening? I know it's somewhere in the States, isn't it?
Yes, on the very far edge of it. I'm a third of the world away from you in the Pacific Northwest, at the very southern tip of Puget Sound in Washington State, about latitude 47.22.
Cool. So a very clear signal from the other side of the world, which is what we like. Now, Cliff, tell us first off, how did you get involved with the whole idea of webbots?
It was a combination of professional interests, working for large software companies as a consultant, seeing the kinds of data that was being shifted around in vast quantities when working for telephone companies, especially in the billing and that sort of stuff. And I got this idea that humans were leaking out information about the future in their everyday language. Basically, all humans are psychic to some degree. And so I was under the impression that I'd sort of stumbled on how that psychic ability was leaking out, whether they knew they were psychic or not. And if I just had this idea that if I could sweep enough of it up and boil it all into a thick syrupy mass, I might be able to extract some meaningful information from it.
It sounds like a good idea. So how does the process work?
Basically what I do is I have machines that just sit around and read the internet, looking for specific archetype words. This is a large collection of words, not really a keyword association. And we'll read perhaps 100 million pages off the internet. Not chat rooms, not email, that kind of thing, but more the fora and other areas of where the public gathers and expresses their concern about stuff. We don't really care who is saying what. What we do care about is what is being said and the language around it, how that language changes over time. And again, we read 100 million reads, throw out various millions of them for various different reasons, boil the rest down to archetypes and sort of take a stab at a forecast from that.
Now, is it not true to say that if people around the world are talking about, for instance, conspiracy theories, many of which are just that, conspiracy theories with no leg in fact, is that not going to throw the web bot off of the very idea you set it up to do?
That is not true, because we don't actually read, we don't care about conscious intent or conscious language per se. We actually care about not complete sentences as you and I may think of them, but rather phrases and shifts in language relative to those phrases. So these are going to a larger mass called an archetype, and from there we add aspects and attributes that have a tendency to block out any conscious intent words. The only ones we really show in terms of conscious intent are what we call our bespoke words, and that's where we run across words that reference emotions in a bespoke fashion, such as the fear, F-E-A-R, appearing in a fora somewhere as a specific reference of a bespoke emotional word. Other than that, conscious discussions we don't really care about. What we care about is that, for instance, they're discussing conspiracy theory A this week, and they're discussing it last week. Why are they using different words this week as opposed to last week? Basically, we're under the impression, and I've sort of validated this, that most humans walk around and have a lexicon of daily use words that numbers around 11 to maybe 20,000, depending on their profession or their daily activity. Of that, very few of those words actually change relative to the emotional content of what they're intending to express. And it's important when they step outside of that normal lexicon of about 11 to 20,000 words into their broader range of perhaps 100,000 words of their own language that they've internalized and have emotional context for. And so we're looking for them stepping outside of their usual language use because it signals that something's fired off in their brain. They're getting an archetypical vision of the future in some small way, and it's sort of leaking out. that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Now, it's had an enormous reputation in recent months. People talking about it on all kinds of forums, saying how accurate it is. But what kind of data brings that kind of accuracy?
What kind of data? Well, the most accurate, we've divided the data into two broad categories, release language and building tension language. And it has to do with how a language is modeled in an emotional sense. So a release language is when you're really angry and you shout out that emotion. Building tension is when you suddenly come upon an accident and you inhale the breath and your abdomen tightens just in this momentary anxiety. Then within that we have what we call immediacy language, shorter term language, and longer term. The immediacy is where we get our most details, and that's where we get the most surprising accuracy in terms of our ability to sketch out an image in words about what's likely to appear in print about some event in the future.
Now, let me talk to you about 2012 here before we go any further, because virtually every week on this program, we're getting people asking us what we think is going to happen in 2012. Well, I haven't got a clue. You know, like most people, I'm wary that there's a lot of predictions and prophecies out there. But what does the Webbot say about 2012?
Well, depending on how we want to look at it, our first indications that something was up came back in 1997 when I was hunting for... At that time, I had intended to use the technology to suss out emotional reactions to stocks and make a killing in the software or in the stock market and or sell the software to somebody else who would do it. I really didn't have much interest in nothing about stocks, but the idea was fascinating. And I was looking for a stock called Sun, Stanford University Network, was its little ticker symbol thing. And instead, I kept getting references to the Sun itself, and I've been tracking that thread ever since 1997. It's growing. We're about to reach exponential. We're getting close to what's known as the knee of the curve relative to solar influences on our thinking. And I'm certain that something is up, and it probably involves our whole planetary solar system, especially relative to the reality that's expressing itself now. So as to what may be up, it appears that the powers that be are afraid of one or two large solar events. As near as we can determine from the language involved with what we call the powers that be, that is to say the political elite and how they very cagily express themselves in public, but sometimes they're sort of flat out and they appear to be a little bit stupid down in the political minion class, and that's a different issue. In any event, though, they appear to be afraid of one or two solar events that will have some major impact on the Northern Hemisphere. The best we can come to is a likening to the 1859 incident when a coronal mass ejection set off all kinds of fires all across the planet. Had such a thing occurred in this time, we would find that most of our electronics were fried, anything with a copper coil would be all melted, and our civilization would grind to a halt until we figured out some way to overcome that.
Hmm. Quite a scary thought, really, but it sort of falls in line with some of the things that I've been hearing as well. So we'll come back to that in just a bit. Now, what's the past hits on the site? I mean, what sort of traffic have you seen, and what have you dealt with through Webbots?
Well, we don't actually have that many people that read our reports, if that's what you're asking. You know, maybe a few thousand. There might be 100,000 people that read the stolen versions of it. But I usually routinely run through 100 million reads in order to do a level forecast or one of these reports. So that's the other side of it, is we have huge bandwidth in reading all the other fora mechanistically, putting it into these large databases and then running all these SQL queries against the databases.
And how much time does that take you, Cliff? It must be a real time-consuming thing.
It is. It's huge. I run about 18 days solid, 24/7. My assistant runs the servers during that period of time as we do data gathering. And then once I get into interpretation mode, I might run... 8 to 12 hours a day, 7 days a week for 3 to 4 weeks, depending on how much data we have.
So it is time consuming. Is this pretty much what you do full time now?
Yes, unfortunately, this seems to be my the sentence the universe has handed me for my past sin.
Well, I hope it makes you some money.
One would hope to, but all I ask is sufficiency at this point. The whole issue of money and that kind of a mindset is going to disappear in the general populace over the next couple of years. To a certain extent, I find that I live about 2 years ahead of the emotional waves that will overtake the masses, so to speak. And it's not that I'm claiming any special ability or anything. It's merely the fact that I'm concentrating on data that has tendency to project out that far. And so I'm constantly building into it, and we are going through a paradigm shift that's going to really rock the acquisitive subclass of humans, because acquisition will no longer have the cachet that it does at this point or used to.
Well, I'm going to come on to finance and the collapse of the banking system after the break, but just before we go to the break, tell us a little bit about the accuracy rates of the WebBot.
We figure that we're at least twice as good as chance would allow. In any given setting, for instance, you might get as high as 21% would be what chance would allow, and we'll hit 50-50. Still means we're wrong half the time, but when we're correct, we're sometimes very spectacularly so.
Well, certainly with things that you've said over recent months or years, in fact, it's I suppose been pushed on the conspiracy websites more so the times you've been right than the times you've been wrong.
No, actually the reverse. Everybody loves poking fun at us when we're incorrect.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah, but what do you think are the greatest things that it's found? What do you think are the ones that stand out for you as being the best of the correct predictions?
Well, the most accurate, I won't use best because it has a kind of strange connotation in terms of some of what we're dealing with, because we have a tendency to concentrate on extreme language, merely because it's easier to pin an emotional value onto that. But we were very accurate in describing the tipping point component of the September 11 attacks in 2001. We were correct about the numeric values of the number of dead that were accompanying the tsunami. We were very correct about the description of the Northeast power outage here in the U.S. a few years back. We were quasi-correct at an archetypical level on the Columbia spaceship disaster, except we'd associated everything with a marine disaster. But we got a lot of it correct in spite of the fact that we were looking for something to hit the water as opposed to a spaceship kind of a problem. We were very accurate on October 7th prediction as being the stress point for the phase one of the breakdown of the dollar in the global situation.
It's got an amazing track record. If you want to ask Cliff any questions, get them into me now, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll be back talking some more about the WebBot right after this.
I smell something weird.
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Email the show, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Hi, this is Ross, and you may have heard me talk about the Great UFO Congress Tour next year. Well, we're leaving in February, and around about 20 of you can be coming with us. But time is short, you need to book soon. The tour is going to fly out to Phoenix in Arizona, and then from there we're on to Sedona, where we're staying at the Hotel La Quinta, followed by a trip up to the Grand Canyon National Park, staying at the Grand Canyon Grand Hotel. From there we're going to be going up into Nevada to visit the Little Alien in Rachel, Nevada, and hopefully as near as we can to Area 51. And then from there, we're travelling down to UFO Congress, 7 days and 8 nights of the greatest speakers from all over the world on the subject of UFOs, on the banks of the Colorado River, just across the river from Arizona. If you want to be part of this, just go to www.megalithictours.com. That's www.megalithictours.com. Get your deposit in now, secure your place, because there are only 20 places and they're selling real fast. I'll be there, so will Penny. Hope you will too.
Love and Light Events present
the Avalon Fairy Ball on Saturday the 3rd of October at the Glastonbury Town Hall, featuring artists Brian Frau, Josephine Wall, Linda Ravenscroft, Peter Prokovnich, Courtney Davis and more. At the Avalon Fairy Ball there'll be music from the Dolmen, fairy fashion shows and much, much more. The Fairy Fair is open between 11 and 5pm and entry is free. The Avalon Fairy Ball starts at 8pm.
Tickets are £20, available from thefairyball.co.uk or 01736 330 201.
Are you truly happy? Do you feel that there's more to life, but don't know where to find it? More to Life magazine is the spiritual magazine to enlighten you with simple, easy-to-read articles on everything from angels, stress management and healing, through to Reiki, yoga and meditation. For just £13.50 for a year's subscription, we have the tools to help you discover what you really want from life. Visit moretolifemag.co.uk to find out more about us. Exploration is the path to a
better life. The Connections Magazine, the leading independent free guides to personal development, natural therapies and all things mystic. The three regional magazines cover the Southwest, London and Southeast and the Midlands, with articles and columns by Dr. Alan Sweeney, Barbara Brennan, Dr. Keith Hearn, Joseph Sarah, Karen Kay, Gail Force and many more. Why not advertise from only £230 a year? Your events, therapies, centres, courses and workshops, retreats, readings, products for sale, organic and vegetarian shops. With us to our thousands of like-minded readers. See theconnections.co.uk or phone 01747 823 424. For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Hi, this is Ross. Check out my new daily blog at nomadrush.blogspot.com. That's nomadrush.blogspot.com. And keep up to date with what's really happening out there.
Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Yes, welcome back. We're in hour three and Now That's Weird with me, Ross Hemsworth, and my guest is Cliff High, talking about the Webbot and the successful predictions it's been making for some considerable time now. Nice to see so many of you as well from the Facebook following on there this evening, quite a few in the chat room as well at the moment. Don't forget, do sign up to that blog. It's nomadrush.blogspot.com. Because if you press follow on that, you'll get updates regularly throughout the week of some of the things I'm hearing. So when I get the conspiracy theories and UFO sightings and stuff sent to me, I usually do a blog about it and send it out to you guys. So if you want to be kept in touch, go to nomadrush.blogspot.com and just hit the follow button and you'll get that. We're also doing a mailing list right now, so we're compiling that. If you want to be kept up to date every week with all of this news on a mail list, just send me an email, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk, and in the subject line just put the words mail list opt in. That's mail list opt in. The reason we do that is to protect from spam. If anyone ever says they're being spammed, we can say, ha, here's the email where they opted into the mail list. So it just protects us, really. So if you can do that, send me an email, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk, and with the subject line saying exactly that, mail list opt in. Now, I want to read an email sent over for Cliff here. Cliff, this is going to be this is an interesting one. I want you to sort of try and answer this as best you can. It's from Pam in Alaska, one of our regular listeners. She says, okay, I'll try to keep this short. For Cliff, in regards to the reports he puts out, I became interested in the reports about a year ago or so. Now, I'm one of those who has always felt that something was going to happen, and I felt the reports might give me a timeline. However, I have noticed some contradictions in the reports and the times for things predicted, inverted commas. They get pushed forward or removed altogether, and the global coastal event is a point in case. I live on the coast and nothing at all has happened here. If anything, the water level has dropped as opposed to rising. The report said that this past summer was supposed to be rather bad, but it was lovely here. Okay, so here's my question. Have you noticed, Cliff, that some of the things you predict are affected by the fact that you predict them? And it's the belief, intent, awareness of these events that may change if they in fact happen or not. Do we get what we believe or what we want? Or is it like a phrase I saw once, the only reason we are here is because the earth is covered with a few inches of soil and it rains, the rest is just talk. Is it, in fact, just talk, Cliff?
No, I don't subscribe to that theory at all. I take her point seriously, though, because these events do shift around. The global coastal event actually started off being described as an event, but we have to be clear about this. We eventually morphed over time as the language changed into global coastal phenomena, as in a set of circumstances that would affect the coast in a general sense. And while she may be correct in that regard, that she thought that that meant the waters were rising, that was not the case. It could have been a general water lack that could have caused this. However, the global coastal phenomena set did indeed occur and is occurring. It has not had the emotional impact yet that we expected to perceive by this time. I don't know if that's because it's been superseded by other events or not, but for instance, we had an unexplained 2-foot tide rises on the Atlantic coast. Along the southern reaches of the west coast of the United States, for instance, we've had a die-off of a serious level of our species, and the no breeding attempt, for instance, in certain kinds of oysters and other mollusks. They're simply refusing to try and propagate their own species anymore, and this is the second full year of this, so it's starting to have some impact. There were other points I can cite, but the issue is that to a certain extent it is correct that as we look at time, or events in time, things seem to morph because we are looking at them, but I don't think we have enough people paying attention to what we're saying to cause yet the self-generated effect. But I do agree that there may be some potential that could occur. And at this stage, it's the summer of hell, it was never intended to be ubiquitous across the planet. And I would say that those people that had 14 days of solid rain in the southeast, or the 47 days of over 100 degrees Fahrenheit temperatures in the hearts of Texas, the fires in California, the freak temperature things we had here on the west coast, and then I could start naming them all the way through China and down in Indonesia, that was at least a global phenomenon, and there were a lot of us that indeed did live through the summer of hell.
Okay, well, I think with any predictions, you know, we have to say that there's always going to be an interpretation which can be taken in many different ways. But let's go through some of the predictions now, Cliff, that you've listed on the list you sent over to me. Let's look at the Israeli mistake and war on Iran. Tell us about that one.
Well, we've had that for a number of years. We've had the potential, at least the last 3 years in our forecast, that Israel was going to attack Iran at a particular point in 2009. We'd originally thought maybe it would be early in 2009, and then as we get closer to the event, and this was back in 2007, the data started to shift, showing that it would push out a little bit. The Israeli mistake component of that is that the data seemed to suggest that a scenario would develop in which there would be very heavy losses from an Israeli attack, an air attack, but some of those planes would indeed get through with some bombs, and they would bomb something they should not have. I really can't describe it because the language is a bit vague about it. However, it appears to cause a very nasty nuclear cloud. We think nuclear, but in nonetheless pollution or chemical cloud of some really nasty components that goes float about and causes damage all through the Southeast Asia and then starts going along on the jet stream and causes problems for the planet as a whole. This does not bode well for everybody's appreciation of Israel.
Absolutely right. No, it would worry us all a bit, I think. Now, let's talk about the dollar death. What's that all about?
The dollar death is a meme we've seen, a thought virus is how they describe memes, but it's really not that. A meme is just a concept. We've had this concept in our data for some period of time. We have found that there's a general postulate we can sort of live by, which is the longer we see the data before the language really starts appearing in the mainstream press to fulfill the forecast, the more emotional impact that particular meme is going to have. So this was a really big one. This is part of the destruction of the financial system, and for our purposes here, we've defined the point of dollar death as occurring from November 4th of this year through to about November 2nd of 2010. And it will first die as a global reserve currency with some rather catastrophic effects on food supply and cost of food globally, and then we'll gradually get to the point where it dies as currency within the United States. And this is not a good thing in any way, shape, or form, but it's a necessary thing we have to go through because of the basically 70 or 80 years of karma that are attached to the dollar and its use.
That's an interesting one, because we've been talking over here for some time about the death of the pound. And the fact that the global banking system, and certainly our own banking system here in the UK, is failing badly. Now, we're being given a whole load of bullshit by our government at the moment that things are on the up again and the corner's turning, which is probably in line with the fact we have a general election coming up in a few months' time, so they want us to think everything's rosy in the cupboard when it in fact isn't. Do you think the whole idea of the dollar death is going to have a total global effect on the financial world?
Yes, and from the viewpoint of government, you have to understand that this is not an election kind of an issue. Government's main function is to lie these days, and so I would just assume any time government says something to you that they're lying, and you need to suss out what's going on behind it. But basically, it's the same kind of a story we're getting here, and it echoes the same sort of language for the previous depression here in the U.S. of happy days are here again, prosperity is just around the corner, and blah, 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 all of which we know not to be true in our daily experience. What we're now looking out for is a period of hyperinflation to hit the United States as the dollar gets to a point where, in the language we've had for a number of years, it would be rejected by all. And what we imagine that that means now, because basically what we're getting is a forecast in how language will change and what it's going to, in a trend line that we can predict into the future. But, and really what we get is a description not of an event, but rather of the language people would use after an event, if that makes sense. And so now that we're approaching that time, it appears that, oh yeah, I understand. First the dollar will go as a petrodollar. All of the oil selling countries will dump it, and then pretty much everybody will dump it and attempt to replace it by something else. Unfortunately, the impact is going to be on a global level across all the currencies as the dollar really goes through this incredible gyration. Here in the U.S., I'm expecting something akin to a brief, might only be a few months, but a period of hyperinflation.
Well, there's been talk.
Hit Britain.
There's been talk for some time about the pound being replaced with the euro, and they tried to push it through secretly just before Christmas last year without the population even knowing, but it was defeated in the House. And we understand that the same thing's happening in America with the Emiro, is it?
That's a meme that I don't find credibility for. The reason I don't find it to be credible is that the person that was promoting it, there was basically a single source you could trace most of the language back to, and it appeared to be a disinfo op out of our own shadow government, that the sources all use the same language. And so, being a linguist, I was able to track it back to a single set of sources, one of whom has now been arrested by the FBI for being a paid informer and causing problems. So the Emiro can't be introduced. What everybody fails to understand, but you guys probably do because you're in that situation, is you look how long it's taken the euro to just get through the continent, and look at how resistive the islands have been there for the adoption of the euro as the currency. That kind of confidence shift at a public level cannot be done overnight. If they were to introduce the Emiro here, I don't care how they mint it up or what it looks like, we'll treat it as some kind of funny money that has no value at all, because there's been no attempt to promote a confidence under the whole idea of the scheme. And that's what makes currency in a paper form or in a digital form work. Without that confidence, you have nothing, and you can't legislate that nor enforce it with military behavior, as we've learned, as all empires learn.
Well, we heard recently somebody did a talk over here in the southwest of England saying that the banking system is so bad and the Federal Reserve is so low that if Bill Gates, for instance, walked into a bank today and said that he wanted all of his money drawn out, there wouldn't be enough paper money printed to actually pay him out on his own. That's without what everybody else is owed around the world.
I would agree with that, and in fact, it is not. It's actually worse than that, because at my level of having no money, living down on a lower level on the bottom side of the middle class in this country, I can go to a local bank and would have difficulty, for instance, without giving them advance notice, getting as much cash as, say, $5,000. And that's how strapped the whole system is, and how much it depends on the digital and the confidence behind the digital.
Now, you might like to know, Cliff, that I was getting a series of press releases earlier this year from Gordon Brown. I'm on the mailing list for the 10 Downing Street press release mail-out, and there were three emails that came out to us, which were copied. I copied them to various different people around the world that I wanted them to see. And they were signed by Gordon Brown with the words underneath, Gordon Brown working towards global governance. Now, every one of those emails, not only mine, but everybody that I sent them to, have all mysteriously disappeared off their computers over the last few weeks, almost as if they've realised that there was a mistake made there and that they shouldn't have sent these out. This is another sign, isn't it, that we are working towards this global government underneath the spotlight, if you like.
Yes, and fortunately for us, it is indeed being shown through the spotlight. There's reflective bits we can all see now. The idea of a pan-global government organization, if not a one-world government, but rather at least the cooperative that structures everything, is quite real, and is reaching something of a stress point in its progress forward. They don't understand why, and they're very much afraid about a number of things, and so, for instance, they're trying all this strange stuff with the declaring a pandemic of a flu that it's debatable that it's even kill killed as many people as they claim, especially in terms of the healthy individuals and then attempting to foist the vaccines on individuals. It's a lot of it is becoming blatant, and we're seeing a lot of the language pop out from behind the covers, exposing a lot of their fear points now.
Well, we've been talking a lot about the swine flu thing here, and there are too many holes in this. There really are. And I think most people around the world now are thinking, we're going to actually rebel. We're not going to have this vaccination. It's as simple as that. Which brings me on to the next one, because the next prediction is the social order breakdown.
Yes, it kind of originates in the U.S., but we have to understand that the Anglo-American Empire, or what I term the Anglosphere, is been fueled by the dollar. As the dollar dies, the empire dies. It's going to die in this case because it's so global and so large, it'll die in a funny way. And rather than die from the extremities all the way up into the core of it, the way Rome perished, or other empires, it's going to die both at the periphery and within from the rot within the middle. And so it's as though we've got an infection in the middle of it as well. This does not bode well for all of us. The impact on, as I say, on things like food delivery, distribution, and this sort of thing is going to get quite severe based on the pressures being put on the general populace as their structured lives come to an end. And I stress the word structured because you can survive through this if you adopt a more self-sufficient approach. It doesn't matter if you're living in cities or not. There's plenty of things you can do to grow food and basically live without money once money goes away in an urban environment. But the issue for all of us is going to be to get through the social stresses that are going to shock a lot of the people that are not yet really awake to what's going on. You see them walking around you. You probably see them on subways and in the office. And they're maybe irritated all the time. They are short-tempered. And they're not their usual selves, but they really couldn't quite put their finger on it. It's been going on for a number of months. And that's this pressure that's starting to be put on them by the general breakdown of everything around them, including the state of lies from government, the degradation of the dollar, or basically the currency everywhere, and then the social order that's dependent upon it. So this it's a time of transformation. It's up to all of us, I guess, to just imagine what we're going to build and then go build it.
Now, what about the revolutionary tendencies for 2010 that you talk about?
That's not a particularly nice thing. That's if we don't get it right. The revolutionary tendencies could be harnessed in a number of different ways. We could have a peaceful revolution. We could go entirely batshit, as we say up here in the Northwest, and do something like a cultural revolution, as was seen in China. We could have a bloody revolution that degrades into civil war. It'll start in the U.S., in the States here, and it'll propagate its way around the planet as basically it morphs from a generalized revolution into a battle against the powers that be as the planetary stresses start to become very severe over the course of late 2010 and into 2011. And by that I mean the climate change will be just unimaginable at this stage, and to predict it with language, we get into words that are just like epic and monumental. So they become meaningless, but they're on a large scale.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there because we need to go into a break. Any questions you've got for my guest in Hour 3, Cliff High, get them in now. ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll be going to the emails right after this.
Scum, I smell something weird.
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Do you want to reach a global, interactive audience that are into the esoteric, holistic, strange phenomena? It's a niche marketplace, but it could be the right one for you. Advertise or sponsor Now That's Weird. Drop me a line now, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk, and we'll do a deal that suits you. Get your message out to thousands of people all over the world with Now That's Weird.
Email the show, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Are you truly happy? Do you feel that there's more to life but don't know where to find it? More to Life magazine is the spiritual magazine to enlighten you with simple, easy to read articles on everything from angels, stress management and healing, through to Reiki, yoga and meditation. For just £13.50 for a year's subscription, we have the tools to help you discover what you really want from life. Visit moretolifemag.co.uk to find out more about us. Exploration is the path to a better life.
Visit the show's official website. Now that's weird.co.uk and meet the team behind the show. For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Hi, this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They make me feel f***ing normal.
Well, welcome back. We're in the last 20 minutes of the show. You're listening to Now That's Weird with me, Ross Hemsworth. My guest is Cliff High, and we're talking about the web bots. So let's get to the emails and see what people are saying here. Hi, Ross. Hi, Cliff. Are there any predictions of a black flag or false flag operation around global events such as the London Olympics? Peace from Rich.
No, we don't show that kind of thing. We show a much more general chaos that really starts propagating out from middle of next year. So our data is most accurate out to say to November of 2010, and beyond that it starts getting a little bit sketchy. We don't have the granularity, so I don't really work at that level with the longer term stuff. But at this point, we don't have much in the way of an emotional spike that would suggest that.
Okay, now there's two very similar emails here, so I'm going to sort of put these two together. First one says, hey Ross, there are no missiles hitting the moon in October. The hits will be made by the spent part of an Atlas rocket, then followed by the satellite itself. Compared to the momentum of asteroids or comets, the impacts will be negligible on the moon. The important bit is the dust cloud, which will be sampled by the satellite before crashing itself and also into its special area on the rim of the moon, visible from Earth. Stop worrying, no explosives involved. Or so they say, and that's from someone who says, no name, anonymous. I wonder why. Now, that sort of ties in nicely with one from Jed in New Jersey in America, who says, Cliff, reference the NASA moon bombings on October the 9th. Is there any predictions for what the outcome of this event may be?
No, but what's interesting for us is that it's the first set of language that we had identified as showing up under alien wars. The linguistics we deal with start off as archetypes and work down in a pyramid fashion to greater levels of detail. And we'd forecast that in 2009, the first set of language was going to start appearing around the idea of alien wars. We didn't know what it would be specifically, but here we have NASA, quote, bombing the moon. Doesn't get much more warlike than that, and here we're talking about interplanetary, albeit close by. This is going to escalate over time until we get into the real alien wars peak of language, which is in 2011. So it's very exciting to me that indeed the language is showing up and that this particular temporal linguistic forecast is starting to appear. When we make these predictions, we don't really know if they're going to happen. And once we start seeing the language appearing in the mainstream, then we get a little bit more confidence and we can root around in the details and say, okay, we missed this the last time. Let's see if that's going to show up. And oh, yes, it does. And therefore, some more stuff might show up. And this whole Alien Wars concept, which we'll probably morph the name of it over time as we get more detail, is very exciting because it offers the promise of breaking free from the powers that be and the stupid impositions imposed on us by their limited levels of thinking.
It's an interesting one, that, because for some time on this show we've been talking about UFOs and people's sightings of aliens, etc., etc. Now, I've always thought that the Love and Light Brigade that tell us they're all here to help us, the Federation of Light are coming to save us from ourselves, etc., etc., has always basically not struck true with me. You know, my gut instinct is saying there's more to this than meets the eye. And most of the big UFO sightings have been over military bases, especially those carrying nuclear missiles. Do you think there's any potential for a possible conflict with an alien race? Reference what you've just said about alien wars.
Yes, I would agree that we must, as rational beings, just assume that if we're combative down here and we're in a fractal universe, then combat as a context or concept must exist in a larger scale. And so it makes sense. Whether it does or not, we'll discover when we get out there. But it just makes sense as a rational being for me to take a martial attitude to the whole thing and say, better prepare some defensive thinking about this and really investigate it. So I'm not a real fan of the Love and Light Brigade saying that all is well, and their supposition that they, because we're primitive when we fight, And because you're coming from an extraterrestrial viewpoint, you'd be more advanced, and therefore you wouldn't fight. I don't find that reassuring in the logic. It escapes me.
Now, there are those out there, Cliff, that will say that we create our own future. We are part of the universe. The thoughts we put into the universe are what's going to come back. So if we think there's going to be an alien war, that's what will happen. If we think it's going to be love and light, that's what will happen. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it works the other way. I think they're absolutely bass-ackwards, as we say. I think that actual thoughts originate in a pulsed form from the center of the universe, and they travel to the center of every galaxy, and from there to the center of every object within the galaxy, meaning all the suns, planets, etc., and that we are, in fact, the receivers of thoughts, and we don't originate the thoughts, and we could no more propel the change in the universe than I would be able to do that on a grand, on even a smaller scale, and say, create the bread from wine, that kind of a deal, right? However, the underlying idea of being able to tickle the template, that is to say that the universe is not solid, it does not exist in a material fashion as we've been led to believe by mainstream science, and in fact, every atom is merely a nexus that's the point of focus of an incredible amount of collision of various different kinds of energies, and it all happens so rapidly that our 30 frames a second mind is tricked into believing that these things are solid. So there is some potential that the template can be tweaked and we can alter that level of reality. But we have to acknowledge that if you don't know what your next thought is going to be, you're not in control of those thoughts.
That's a good point. Now, if we take the Christian perspective here, now I'm not a believer in any particular Christian faith, but if we take the Christian perspective, they say we're coming to the time of the rapture. Now, some believe that to be the return of Christ to earth. Others say it's the time where the ascent of those 144,000 Jewish male virgins, and I question whether there is that many, will actually take place. What does the Webbot think on this? Is there anything in this particular area?
We have a tendency to look out for or watch out for religion in a be aware of it kind of a sense, because the language in religion is very hot emotionally. There's very little differentiation in it. So as a rule, religion, politics, and sports are very difficult for us to make predictions from, because there's not much in the way of nuance there to work with. And no, we don't have anything that indicates rapture per se. In fact, I don't even think that concept is biblical. I think it's extra-biblical and originated from some quasi-cult side of the Christian stuff. But in any event, now being a Christian, I don't know the details of it. However, I have been told that some of the language around these disappearances that we've been seeing was similar to what people expected the rapture to be like. But no, we have nothing to support that. But to a certain extent, I don't go looking for it, because it's just so difficult to separate out language shifts within those particular areas.
Now, what about planetary and interplanetary changes? What does the Webbot have to say there?
Basically, that we got a huge adventure ahead of us, and we're well into it now. It suggests that, really, the language suggests that we're in what we've been calling the big squeeze, that our solar system has entered an area in which the magnetic field of the galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, is going to override the magnetic fields of all of the bodies within our solar system. And we do this every so often, like I think on cycle it's about 26,000 years, because our solar system rotates around the Milky Way on this sine wave, and we're in this point where the magnetism is squeezing down on us, and we think that's the cause of the shrinkage of the heliosphere and the heliopause and the magnetosphere and the holes in it and some of the shrinkage on some of the magnetospheres around the planet, as well as the interplanetary climate change that's going on. If this is accurate, then two possible outcomes are forecast. Because we're not really part of the Milky Way galaxy, our system really is part of, or we used to be part of, what's known as the dwarf Sagittarius B galaxy, which is being consumed by the Milky Way. And it just so happens that we might, as a solar system, be captured by the Milky Way on this particular path through the ecliptic. If that were to occur, we would be trapped in the middle of this magnetosphere, or this magnetic level, at its peak, which, curiously, is 2012, and we would have that level of environment from that point forward, and we would truly start rotating then with the third minor spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy, instead of going up and down around the lip of the plate the way we have been for these past few millions of years. Now, the other path is that we will not be captured by the Milky Way on this particular path, and it would occur maybe 26,000 years in the future, or at some multiple of that. If that is the case, then following 2012, we can expect a very rough ride as the magnetism lets up. And we leave this area of intense magnetism, we can expect our Earth and all the planets to shake about as they get back to their more normal magnetic patterns. This will induce all kinds of volcanic activity, earthquakes, and as may be imagined, freakish weather on an order that we have yet to see.
Well, that's a frightening thought in itself. Now, a lot of people are saying that the shift into galactic equator, or galactic centre, as many are calling it, is what's going to cause the main problems of 2012. But, of course, this then brings in the whole stitching theories of Nibiru, or Planet X. Now, does Webbot have any predictions with regards to this mysterious Planet X?
No. When we actually examine the language, a lot of it appears to go back again to almost a sole source point of origination, and there has not been a generalized archetype out there that suggests that that's going to be a particular issue. However, there are small archetypes out there, or small collections of them, indicating that we are going to have flybys of near-Earth objects that will be rather anxiety-producing and grating on the nerves, and somewhat visually spectacular as we get closer to 2012, but we don't see anything to indicate the big giant planet or the dwarf red star is going to come in and jerk us about, no.
Okay, your notes also talk about Hunab, Ku, and Ki, or Kai. Tell us about that.
Hunab, Ku is the Mayan concept of the unimaginable consciousness that's in the middle of the galaxy. Bear in mind that for them everything is just an expression of consciousness, or as we like to say around here, the collision of all of the energies that have been expressed by that consciousness. Ki is the Japanese word, it's spelled K-I, and it means a life force, same kind of concept as chi or prana in the Hindu way of thinking. And if we are correct in our thinking about this relative to how the Mayans conceived of it, then the ability to control energies with your mind, or will actually, it's not really your mind, that you can develop through meditation will become a very handy skill set to have as we go through these very trying times. And it may also be the indispensable skill set, very much like typing is now, in the far future relative to the discoveries of the new electrics. They may be operated at a consciousness level in a way that we don't really quite understand and can't really put to words at the moment because the devices haven't been made. But it's similar to, imagine yourselves in the 1930s or 40s and the concept of a male executive or otherwise learning to type. It was just absurd. There was never any point of it. Yet now almost everyone on the planet that is computer connected learns to type without even thinking about it. We suspect there will be that kind of level of control of these new devices and they'll in some way involve the ability to control ki within your own body.
Interesting. Okay, let's get a couple more emails in before the end of the hour. This one comes in from John. It says, "Hi Ross, I'm an expat listening in Tenerife this evening in the Canary Islands. Really enjoying the show. Some great stuff here. Could I ask your guest if the Webbot has had an effect on his life that's changed his belief system?"
Yes. I try not to have a belief system per se. I don't want to get filters there, and it's changed things that way, and that I've been very somewhat rigid about examining my own prejudices and trying to get them out of the way of the interpretation. But it's also reinforced a whole lot of... I started off as a software scientist. You know, the idea of conspiracies and all this, I considered as part of the woo-woo world. Now I find myself deep into the woo-woo world, where it's like an everyday event to think that any minute now, space aliens may drop in for a chat. And I'm just not particularly worried about it. So it has made a huge change in showing me what is real relative to reality and getting me out of the box that the thinking, that mainstream media and all are trying to get us into.
Okay, one from Birmingham, Alabama now, from Al. And he says, "Do you believe that Obama is the good guy that everyone thinks, or is he the devil incarnate? What's the Webbot prediction?"
He's a politician. That's one of the areas where we get into very little nuance. You either hate him or love him, so there's not much in the way of difference in language from week to week for us to track. However, on a personal level, and also from reading the data, I hardly think it matters. The president only he's like 27 layers down in the security clearance. He does not have the security clearance high enough to go into Area 51 or to find out the truth about UFOs. So as far as I'm concerned, he's just an elected civil servant with no real power. None of the things he does are going to be original thoughts or directed from him. They'll be handed to him by those 27 layers that exist above him in that security clearance structure.
Cliff, it's been absolute delight talking to you. You're a mine of information. I should be watching the web bots with great interest in the coming months. What things, very quickly, would you say we need to be aware of in the coming weeks and months ahead of us?
That the dollar really is going to go through a huge crash, not in the way people think, but it'll have impacts on food supply, and everybody needs to start thinking about growing as much of their own as they can possibly do so, because the species as a whole is under great pressure now. This is the eighth year that we've had crop failures or less than predicted and projected results. And it's going to get worse, so everybody needs to be very aware of that and start taking responsibility.
Cliff, it's been an absolute delight talking to you this evening. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We hope to get you back real soon with some more of the WebBot predictions. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, sir. Anytime.
Cheers now. Bye-bye. There you go. That website again is www.halfpasthuman.com. That's halfpasthuman.com. Very interesting, the whole idea of the web bot, what it's doing and what it's coming up with. I hope you've enjoyed the show tonight. For me, it's been a really interesting one. I've enjoyed the people I've spoken to tonight. Some very, very interesting thoughts there. And certainly with the web bot, it's not as if it's a human being coming up with the predictions. It's the assessment of things that are going on elsewhere being put together by software or an internet site. I don't know how you take it, but certainly, as he rightly says, an awful lot of the predictions have come true. And from where we're sitting right here, I mean, Penny and I have been watching this for some time, and neither of us used to get swallowed up by conspiracy theories, but there's an awful lot of stuff that's passing by us at the moment that we're looking at each other and thinking, well, there's got to be something in this. There's just too much information out there, too much proof. And I don't know. I think it's no longer a conspiracy theory, is it? It's got to be called conspiracy facts. You've been listening to Now That's Weird with me, Ross Hemsworth. Many thanks to Penny, my beloved, who's working hard on the other side of the studio with the emails, the websites and all of the other information. Thanks to Lulu the cat for being fairly quiet this evening and letting us get on with the show. And thanks to you, the listeners, the most important part of the package, because you've stayed there listening to the whole programme. Thank you for that. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time, because I'm away at the Probe Conference next week and the Cornish UFO Conference the week after. So, in fact, 3 weeks before the next live show, but we'll be playing you out some archives next week and the week after. So do stay tuned to those. They may be shows you might have missed in the past. Many thanks to John, to Kenton and to Mark, the guys involved behind the scenes with the show. We'll be back in 3 weeks' time with more live. Now That's Weird.